What ho, and welcome to the 70th episode of the Triple Takeover Toycast. I'm one of your hosts. As my window cleaner calls me, it's 6-0. But more on that later, because here are my other co-hosts. With me as ever is Liam from Toybox Soapbox. How are you doing, Liam?
Are you sure? I feel like you just stole my whole identity.
Absolutely sure, mate. Yeah.
Are you sure I'm with you and not? It's not you? You're not Liam?
Yeah, Mary, it is. I just thought I'd keep you on your toes there, you know?
Maybe I'm 6-0, but more on that later.
Maybe. The look of indignation on your face started that. You were like, hang on, what's happening? What's occurring here?
You did that to get my attention, didn't you? Because I was looking at my phone.
Yeah, very much so, mate. Very much so. And it worked a treat.
Very effective.
Look at that. How you doing, Liam? Back in the room?
Yeah, I'm good, I'm back. What episode is this again?
Number 70, mate. Well done, excellent. So that's Liam, and We've also got, as ever, Jason of Jason.
Should I be Maz now, though? If you're Liam, and
I don't know, mate.
I'm so confused now.
Who is anybody?
who are we? Who are we tonight?
You know? We could all do a little episode where we just pretend to be one another. I don't know.
The other person.
Liam, or I could attempt a Scottish accent of some sort.
Oh, don't. Aye. Yeah, you know how that ends when we do accents. Never good.
Yeah, I do know. I know all too well.
We'll talk like the Highlander and be like, aye. That's
just do lots of rrr. That's what you do. Lots of arms. Yeah.
Hootsman.
Aye, the no. The Clan MacLeod.
Aye.
Perfect.
It's a kind of magic.
That was Groundskeeper Willie. That's what that was.
that was my Christopher Lambert impression.
Nice. Highlander.
It was very good. Yeah, it was very good indeed. Well, we're here for a bit of a chat about next year, aren't we? Because last time we talked 2023.
Wait, is it not this year? When is this out?
This year. No, it is. Actually, that's a good point. Yeah, because we're coming to you from the past when it's still 2023. But actually, I think, you're going to be listening to this when it's 2024, aren't you? That's weird.
And then we have flying cars. Yes, that's what we want.
Probably. It's all kicking off, isn't it, in 24?
I mean, it's been like 19 years since the Battle of Autobot City. How the world has changed.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. I saw a meme the other day where if Marty McFly from Back to the Future went back the same amount of time from now, it would be 1993.
That's terrifying.
It is terrifying.
I mean, for some context, like in, a year's time, the Battle of Autobot City will be vintage, officially.
That's true. Yes, it will. Yeah. It will. There you go. Yeah, it'll be the 20th anniversary of the Battle of the City.
Do you remember when it was the 20th anniversary of Transformers and it felt old?
Oh, I was just going to say that because, of course, next year, as I'm sure many of our listeners will already know, is the 40th anniversary of Transformers. And naturally, we're going to talk a bit about that tonight. But yeah, I have a hard time with the fact that I still remember the 20th anniversary very, very vividly. So the fact that this is the 20th anniversary of the 20th anniversary, I'm like, nah, man, I don't like that.
Yeah, totally. Seeing the 4-0 on that retro box art for next year, that really puts the grey hairs on you.
It's when you know that you've got to a certain stage in your life when brands like Lego especially, and I'm sure they'll do it with Transformers at some point, but Lego already do this, when all of their advertising for certain bits of Lego is men with grey hair in cardigans. And you're like, man.
That's it.
Dads.
They know what they're doing here.
Adult collector. Yep.
It's advertising for dads.
It is.
Dadvertising.
Oh, there we go. Yes.
Oh, no. It's funny as well.
It'll live in your head forever now.
No, it absolutely will. It's going to stick. It's going to stick. A little Liamism. I like it.
Liam-ism.
Someone's going to hear that, though, and they're going to use that.
Yeah, they will. Yeah. And you won't get credit again, Liam. All these ideas you come out with
every
episode.
I'm an ideas factory for everybody else. It's fine. It's fine. I've accepted it.
It's so true.
I live as a pauper while everyone else
profits off
50p off my name.
Well, so we are here to talk tonight about 2024, 40th anniversary of Transformers. And basically, it's just a bit of a look to the year ahead. Full disclosure, we are recording this before New Year. In case that's not evident. So for us, this is just a little look to the year ahead, kind of at the close of 2023 and the toys that we're kind of looking forward to, really. Yeah, Christmas, all of that jazz is yet to come for us.
Got me jumper.
Oh, man, he's got his Christmas jumper on.
A Jurassic Another Park one? Christmas jumper. Wow.
Jurassic
yes.
Jurassic Xmas, a different one. Look, T-Rex got a little Christmas hat on.
Lovely.
The best. Love it. Love
it's actually quite tasteful.
It's cool.
Do you think that means he's a Santi Rex?
Yes, we'll say yes.
I had to think about that one there, Jason.
Because yeah. It's a cerebral joke.
Very much so, absolutely. Yeah, cerebral scientist stuff, that is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we are looking forward to the next year. And it's really just the excuse to chat about toys, isn't it? And stuff that we're probably going to line our shelves with next year and just have a look at what's going on. So a little bit of speculation, maybe some leak listings and things like that, but just see where we end up.
Yeah. A general chat about what's to come. And as you say, a bit of guesswork as well.
A lot of guesswork, yeah. I think. Yeah, I think that's it. Because with the best will in the world, we don't know that much that's going on next year, really, do we? We only know a certain amount. There's some toys that have just been unveiled. But, you know, it's probably only the first month or 2 months or at most that we really know kind of stuff that's happening. So we'll have to see where we end up with it all.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, we should mention that we do have a sponsor for the evening, and that is tfsource.com. So do check them out for all your Transformers and third-party needs. And we also have a bit of a Patreon. Now, I'm saying that correctly tonight, aren't I?
That was perfect. Absolutely perfect.
Was it?
It was, yeah.
I can't believe what I've heard. Like, you've actually just said it normally, yep. With no prompting. Normally. No?
Indeed, yeah.
Wow.
I've been practicing in front of the mirror.
It was great. There was
repeatedly.
Yeah,
I haven't.
Have you decided what people on Patreon are called yet?
I've got this. I know this. Patrons.
Is it not just patron?
Yeah, patron. Patrons. I thought the thing was that we were trying to make it like a kind of Transformers themed. They're patrons.
Ah, like the patron saints of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Patron saints of Triple Takeover. Yeah. So yeah, we do have a bit of a Patreon, and you should check it out because on there we've got 5 glorious tiers. You can just sign up and give us £1 a month if you really want to, and that obviously helps us to keep the lights on. We're very grateful for that level of support. Or you can sign up as a man in pig and get access to episodes like this up to and over sometimes a week early, which is really, really good. Or you could become an inner beast, unleash your inner beast and get on our Discord server. Which is really the popping place to be on the internet.
Did you just say the popping place to be?
It's the popping place to be, indeed. I did say that, and I'm sticking with it.
Party poppers. Right,
beatnik. Look at it.
Right, sure. Why not? I practiced that too. Wow. I didn't practice that. Didn't practice any of this.
You're calling everyone daddy-o in a minute, Jason.
Yeah. Maybe I will. Daddy-o.
He's sure, too hip. We're too square. That's what we are.
That is it. You cannot handle my hip vibes. Well and truly the case. But yeah, no, get on our Discord. We've still got our old Marvel UK book club going off, haven't we? That's still really good fun.
Yeah.
Dog Lunch UK is doing a brilliant job.
Amazing
with that.
Job.
Oh, yeah. What a thread that is. The amount of information that keeps popping up in there and just little talking points, just things you knew, and it's just incredible. Nice to talk. You know, talk about them in proper like discourse with people,
yes.
Rather than reading about it and then, you know, reading, say, in a comic or, you know, on the TF Wiki or on a forum or somewhere. It's just really nice to be able to have that back and forth in a proper conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's been some incredible revelations already. Just stuff that I think I said in a previous episode, I consider myself someone that knows that comic quite well. And already I'm like, oh, never knew that. Do you know what I mean? It just the kind of observations that people are making, it's really good.
It is. It's great. Worth a shout out to Skybound as well. And
yes.
The chat zone. I did read issue 3 today, but that's all I'll say.
Indeed, yeah. We'll have another mini-series topic on that before too long. So
I still haven't read it. I keep forgetting it's happened.
Oh, mate, you want to get on
it? Yeah, get on it. Yeah.
It's proper. It's really good.
It's proper. That's the way to put it.
It's proper. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's popping. That's what they would say.
It's popping.
It's absolutely popping.
Daddy-o.
It's popping, daddy-o. In any case, you can also sign up as a Sixos butler and get access to exclusive fortnightly minisodes on a range of different topics, all kinds of one-off topics that we do on there. We've just done like deluxe Insecticons and loads of great stuff. We've just done the back of the box art, G1 mural. Box art murals, the box murals, whatever you want to call them. We still didn't really decide, did we?
It's a mural. It's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Liam knows what
that was.
Them.
The best. That was the best guess. Yeah.
Battle in space.
There you go.
Battle in space.
Space battles.
84, 85, and 86 are box art. Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Good chat.
We just did that. And you can commission your own minisodes as well. So that's pretty good. And then you can sign up as our top tier Gold Box Classic, where you get all of this and you get access to a fortnightly mini series, which is where we're talking about Skybound. We're talking about IDW More Than Meets the Eye. We're talking about something that Jason is doing, which is very exciting. And of course, there's the legendary Tatman. which is where Liam takes us on a tour of the Tat, and it's my favourite bit of everything we do, I think.
Not called Tatman, you'll find it's called Liam's Vintage
Toy Box?
Soapbox, or is it Toy Box?
Soapbox.
Oh, bugger,
Soapbox, I think.
Soapbox, yeah, there we go.
Soapbox, there we go.
Yeah. The stuff you'll find in your loft, you know, all those treasures, that's what it is.
Oh, yes.
The true treasure of the 80s.
Yeah.
The next one's a good one. I don't want to spoil it, but it's going to be a good one.
I'm looking forward to it.
They've all been good. I don't know how you're going to top the A-Team.
But this is a classic 80s toy line that everybody remembers. It's one of those. This is one of the toy lines. Very short
one of the
toy
lines. Quintessential ones,
classic.
Right.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is it Dino Riders?
Oh, it's not Dino Riders, but it's not a million miles away from Dino Riders. It's quite extreme, let's just say that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting. Is that a clue? I'm trying to work it out.
No.
Yeah, I really randomly looked up a picture of Dino Riders the other day just to for something that came up in the chat, actually. And it still blows my mind, that toy line, how great it looks, honestly. So
I told you, doing
that one.
The other week I went to watch the WWE wrestling and somebody handed me a suitcase full of Starcom and Dino Riders toys while I was in the stadium.
Really? What? That's amazing.
These are very yellowed Starcom toys and a bunch of Dino Riders like the little partners, the minifigures, and just loads of the bits to go on top of dinosaurs and stuff. Just this is my life.
Just it really is your life, though.
Yeah,
the first time I ever met Liam face-to-face, not on the internet, was at TFN. And, I mean, you were half-cut already. Well, I'm being generous when I say half-cut.
That's putting it mild, yeah.
Yeah. But you looked a bit confused because you're in the sort of lobby bar area and you were like, someone just walked up to me and handed me a bag of Unicron Trilogy toys. And you didn't even know what it was, did you?
I was very confused. That happens to me a lot, but... Yeah, so I need to start going through that suitcase, actually. I remember what was in there. There was a part of a vehicle Voltron. I remember that was in there.
Oh, really? Oh, nice. Yeah. That's good.
Lovely. Look forward to hearing about that on a future Tatisode.
But after that, you know, Sixo's done a great job of selling you something, so I'm not going to try and sell you anything. I'm just going to try and help you out, because it might be now, it's after Christmas, you might have missed giving somebody a gift, so...
That's true.
Crusader Against Inflation is back to help you, and you can head over to our Redbubble and get all sorts of cool stuff. People are loving these mugs. You've got to get them before they sell out.
They really are.
I don't think things can sell out on Redbubble, but if they could, you've got to be quick. So head over to redbubble.com/people/triple takeover/explore. Yes, absolutely nailed it. And what's called? Don't add absolutely nailed it. That's just me. And get one of these mugs that all the cool kids, all the hip people, not the squares, as 6-0 would call them, the hip people.
Yeah.
These mugs. Although I don't have one, but...
The poppers.
The poppers.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, we don't have... None of us have a mug, do we? So we're...
No,
yeah.
I need to get one of these mugs. I need
we
a
do.
Mug.
Yeah.
The paupers, though. The Dick Whittingtons of this world, like myself, don't have them, you know.
Exactly.
A pocket or two.
I think by this point we've established that really we are the mugs that we met along the way.
That's it. Yeah.
So
come and meet here weekly. Yeah, exactly.
Right, so we're here to talk 2024, 40th anniversary of Transformers, dead exciting, lots kicking off. Should we get into it?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Excellent. Right, well, we've got a bit of a sort of vague running order, but the most obvious place to start is Generations, isn't it? So like Legacy, a little bit of Studio Series maybe, that kind of stuff. So, I mean, this is without a doubt the bit that we know the most about, I guess, but also the bit that probably most people are going to be talking about, isn't it? Because it's kind of where all the fun is happening at the moment, if anything.
This is like the main part of Transformers as a toy line for adults now, isn't it? This is where almost all of the focus exists, is on this one toy line.
Yeah, it's so true.
And it's also, it's a big part because the reveals that we've just got a Titan class reveal, of Tidal Wave. Which, what did you guys think of that?
There was a tidal wave of excitement about that, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, there has been a bit, hasn't there? I think it looks incredible, is what I think. I'll be totally honest. I've seen a few grumbles, a few, you know, nitpicks and things. And like, bizarrely, a few people being like, oh, I wish it was in this other color scheme or whatever. Mm. But whatever, man. Honestly, I saw the pictures of it and was like, wow, legit good.
Yeah, it's all the greebly bits for me. There's a lot of detail from what I could tell from the images that I saw, and there's a bit of video as well, wasn't there? But
there was.
The head sculpt was what sold it for me.
That's interesting.
Really nice, really just. I'm always sold on it.
Big yellow mohawk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Missile mohawk, isn't it? He's kind of, are they missiles in his forehead?
Yeah.
Whatever they are. Kind of. But the head has been a bit divisive, I think. I've seen as many people complimenting the head. Really not liking it. Some people are not feeling the head, which I think is interesting. It's got a really almost Transformers animated vibe.
That's probably why I like it then, because I'm a huge animated fan as well.
But they do, don't they? Like when the Ark and the Nemesis have got a bit more personality like that.
Yes.
Sort of 100%. A G1 looking face. They've got that kind of shape to them almost.
I completely agree. Yeah, they're a little bit more sort of stylized in a way. Yeah. They're not like classic G1. And this is Armada anyway. So yeah. I think even versus the Armada cartoon, this is a little bit more stylized than maybe some people would have imagined.
But it's not the Armada cartoon though, is it?
That's no.
It's legacy. We're past that now. We're getting updates. That was one of my favorite criticisms I saw someone say was it was too similar to the original. And I was like, that's quite fair. But I've seen other people say it doesn't look anything like it. I'm like, are you blind? What's going on? This is the opinions, isn't it? So it's the extremes we have from people.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, I think it's a funny old one because none of the stuff in Legacy. It is cartoon accurate, but it's not like slavishly done in the way that Masterpieces, for example. It's, you know, I was looking at like, you know, I just recently got in hand Legacy Blitzwing recently, you know, totally your finger on the pulse as I am at all times.
I was gonna say,
like, I finally got this toy and this is the state of my 2022
sixer.
Exactly. Right. That's pretty early for me. Do you know what I mean? That's like on the pulse there. But I was looking at it versus the cartoon and I was thinking, you know, it's not, when you actually sit and compare the details, it's really not all that close. Like, it's got certain elements of it that are like, yeah, that's cartoon Blitzwing, but it's not what they try and do with Masterpiece at all. And I like it for that, in that there's a little bit of kind of added flair to it, and it's allowed to still kind of have its own feel, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's the same with Tidal Wave.
Yeah, they allow it to be a toy. And I think that's the thing about Tidal Wave, is that as more stuff was released about it, you know, there's the smaller vehicle modes that are inside, which was looking that can be combined with Megatron, is the theory, isn't it? That's what people are looking
it's
at.
It's ironic
so,
it's called Tidal Wave, isn't it? Because it's like Soundwave, where he's got a little cassette of himself inside.
Yeah, that's right.
That's true, yeah.
Inside his chest.
Yeah. His little inner child, isn't it?
Yeah.
Totally. I like that. I'd see someone saying that they really hope that this little kind of boat bit that's inside the extra parts, that it would be able to make a small robot as well. And as soon as I read that, I was like, oh man, I really hope that's true.
Yeah.
I doubt it.
Nice, wouldn't it? Yeah.
It'd be fun.
Or there's another tiny tidal wave inside there and it just gets smaller and smaller.
Russian dolls.
Exactly. All the way.
Exactly. Yeah. Just little Russian dolls. Just keep unstacking them and they get smaller and smaller just till you get down to like Legends class or Core class.
World's smallest tidal wave.
Yeah. I need to comment on his nipple guns as well. They're not very subtle.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they are just like all over the shop and they look twisty as well. So, and to see he's got them on,
are you
going to
be twisting the nipples, are you, Jason?
Yeah. Well,
that's a good little twist. They're on his hips, if anything.
Oh, the hip ones,
The hip ones, and yeah, definitely a good pair of nipple guns. They do look like they move, which I'm dead into because, you know, I've mentioned a few times about the lack of movable cannons on the Ark. So this, to me, just... The budget on this thing looks like quite considerable, no? Because it's layered in paint. It's got lots of like yellow and orange highlights, pink highlights as well. It's got movable cannons. It's got the small tidal wave inside it. Really feels like they've upped the budget a little bit. Would you say that's fair?
Yeah, I think that is. And each of those, when it splits apart into its different vehicle modes, and then they have different transformations as well, don't they? Like the original. So it's just, it's a really nice take on the existing Armada, and they've gone for it. I think they've probably learnt from, you know, doing what was the Ark, and then to Nemesis, and now to doing Tidal Wave as well, to bring in more. You want that on a big figure, don't you? You want the bits that you can actually just use as a playset that we had on the the likes of the older sets from back in the day. So
yeah, exactly. You want features and gimmicks and things like this. I don't think it's enough for these things to just be a big robot and that's that. I don't think that satisfies.
Yeah, really. maybe some knuckles and that's it. It's just isn't enough, is it? It's like
no.
It kind of fits it into an awkward place, doesn't it? The Titan class, because it's a big expensive toy that's got to be able to sell itself to kids as much as adults because of the price. It's got to be that big Christmas toy, so it's got to justify not just collectors. It's got to kind of go beyond that to some degree. So it's got to have these play features, hasn't it? And but as well, agreed. That's when it moves up to that scale, features become way more important than. When you've got, say, I don't know, a deluxe-sized car, the doors can't open, you can kind of be like, that's cool, it's still a toy car. But when it's that size, it's very noticeable and doesn't have features. Like the Ark, like we said about that, like the only thing it's got is that ramp. And you're like, and obviously the Teletron 1 comes out. And
yeah, Teletron 1, yeah.
But it doesn't have any real other play features that make you feel like it's a spaceship that you're interacting with, that you would play with it as a spaceship. And I always felt that's what was really lacking about it. And so that's what they need. And that's why the Nemesis works with its ramps and stuff and the little jets. It's got to feel, you got to get that sense of scale from a toy like this. And I think that's why it has to have these features. And it's great that it does.
Yeah.
100% agree.
Yeah. It's got to be a toy and something that you just don't go, okay, great, got that, put it on a shelf and that's it. Because that's, it's a lot of space for it to take up.
Thing. I think you're right. And I think, Liam, you're spot on that it's got to appeal to kids in that sense. And like I know that, with little 7-0, this looks like it's got some stuff in it that would immediately capture his interest and capture his imagination. But then equally, as collectors, this is so big that the space it's going to take up, you don't just want to be whacking it on the shelf and then just having it look pretty. You do kind of want to feel it's got something going for it as well. And I know
interesting.
Yeah, exactly. It's got to hold your interest a little bit, I think. And I think even the people that are happy to just get the thing, take it out of the box and put it on the shelf would still kind of feel that they're happy that it's got some features and things. But I also think, and I know I mentioned it already, but, again, the paint. I know I said about the Nemesis in the last episode that felt like, to me, a step up in terms of paint and stuff. But honestly, I just keep looking at this new tidal wave and just thinking it looks like a Unicron trilogy era toy, both in terms of the design but actually in terms of the presentation as well. And one thing we've said consistently in our mini series on the Unicron trilogy with Maz is that the toys from that era had a hefty paint budget, and this to me looks like it hails from that era in that regard as well.
That's very fair, actually. I hadn't really thought about that.
It has to, though, because again, there's a toy of this size. There's a value proposition issue here, isn't there? When you leap up from £20 toys, when you're asking people to put down, say, £200 or whatever this is, that sort of era, you have to go beyond what is acceptable in a smaller class toy. And it's like if you go back to stuff like the G.I. Joe flag, for example, in the 80s, all of these big toys had those features. And with the flag, it wasn't that it was a replica of a battleship, which is what, say, adult collector toys are like that. It's like it's a replica of the real thing, and it does what you expect it to do. It looks like something. It doesn't have to have the feature. Some of them do, but they don't have to. But the flag, it wasn't that it just looked like an aircraft carrier. It's that it could interact with it, and it had all of the proper paint things and stickers.
Exactly.
Everything that drew you in to make you think, I can interact with this like I would a battleship to some degree. That makes sense. And I think it's like when you look at Metroplex, there's another one like the vintage Metroplex, and you're like, you don't think of it as just a base, because as a toy, you can plug everything into it and it could do all of its parts. And And so I think paint and sticker and anything like that's really important on a toy like this, as much as features and everything. You've got to they have to sell it to you, basically, because otherwise it's going to be all left on the shelf. Because like, I think that's one of the things that was disappointing about the Ark again. Didn't have no paint, but it didn't feel like it.
It was really lacking. Yeah,
nothing was really bringing out all of the details, and
it got lost. Just a big missing, orange slab.
Giant what's it?
It did. I think it's the fact that it's orange as well. It didn't help in a way with the greebling and stuff. Like it didn't. You could have almost put a little black wash on it, and I have seen a few people do that, and it automatically looks better. But it just looked a little bit bare somehow.
It's saturated, isn't it? Because of the colour that it has to be. It just kind of saturates out any detail.
It really does, yeah. I mean, I think, red especially is notorious for washing out detail, but I do think orange is kind of in that category as well. But that's talking about color and stuff. I mean, do you think that we'll get repaints of this? Because, of course, this is cartoon colors. This is what in Micron Legend would have been known as Shockwave, you know, but it's cartoon colors Tidal Wave. Do you think we're going to get a Toy Colors or an Energon repaint of this?
Yeah, I'd say so. I'd be surprised if we didn't get Energon repaint from it.
Yeah.
Because they always repaint them now, don't they?
Yeah, it seems likely. I mean, Generation Selects is, you know, is a thing, isn't it?
Which was the last one that didn't. Trypticon, I think, is the only one.
Yeah, Trypticon's had no repaints, has it?
No, never did a new Metroplex or, what do you call it, or the Ark, I suppose.
Yeah, the new, those two, or Nemesis, not so far either. It's hard to know what they would do with Ark and Nemesis, I suppose, isn't it?
Well, that's what I mean. They don't really have that ready, do they? But these different. Do, and the ones that do have, even Omega got the Sentinel.
Yeah, that's very true. I'd be interested to see if they do the Energon one. Well, two thoughts on that. Firstly, are they going to do it with clear plastic?
Yes, exactly.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I don't know.
This is the thing as well. It's like, because I always think is light and sounds, which is something that back in the day was always prevalent, but don't get that anymore. That's not a thing at the moment, you know? But clear plastic. Yeah.
Yeah, light and sounds is a funny one because it never was a thing, really. I mean, you got it on the odd toy like Galvatron back in the day in 86, but by and large, it just was not a thing in Generation 1 at all.
No,
not. And then it sort of briefly did was a thing in G2, but then
the little
not,
sound boxes. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, not really in Beast Wars, but then it was Unicron Trilogy, if anything, that kind of
and animated
brought it in a little bit more. And then, from there. And then it's just gone away again, hasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's because we all forget about the batteries and they go off.
Yeah, but it's such a staple of a toy from a time, isn't it? Like mid to late 90s to the mid 2000s, every toy seemed to come with it. And it's funny how we flipped as Transformers fans, because back then you'd sort of look at it and almost sneer like, oh, I wish they'd leave this stuff out. and then when they do now, you're like, oh man, it just feels cheap and I miss it. until they stick it into like a masterpiece like Optimus Prime, and then you go, why have you done that?
That's very true. I think I always kind of would look for light piping in a figure before I'd look for lights rather than and battery powered stuff more than anything else.
Every gimmick has its fans and detractors, doesn't it? It's fair to say. So it's one of those. But the other thing I thought about the Energon Tidal Wave was that I've seen a bit of a groundswell of love for this idea of releasing this Titan in the Energon color scheme. And actually, I think there are a fair few people out there that would rather it was done in that colors, in those colors, than the purple. And I think that, to me, really says something about, I was thinking about this, there are a lot of people that I've come across, and it's, I guess it's interesting for us because we're analyzing someone else's childhood that's a lot younger than us, that they, you know, when they grew up with Unicron Trilogy and that. And they talk about it in a very different way to how sort of it seems objectively, which is that you can make a real distinction between people that grew up with Armada and people that grew up with Energon. And although it's only a year, maybe two's difference, it's quite noticeable that people are like, I don't remember that toy, but I do remember this one that came literally 18 months after or something like that. And it just really says something about childhood, doesn't it? And how it seems like this kind of never-ending, you know, just expanse of time, but in reality sometimes a year makes all the difference in terms of what is relevant to you or not.
It's where a generation changes, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, it's the one that you hold in your own hand that you just kind of fall in love with. I think it's I'm going to say inevitable that they do the Energon one. Partly because there is that whole demographic and fan base that are just kind of crying out for it ultimately as well. So I think that'd be nice to do.
He is missing his Minicon though, isn't he?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I can't forget. I can't remember the guy's.
Is it Ramjet?
Name? Yeah, it is Ramjet. Well done. I was just thinking it's something like classic G1, I'm sure. But yeah, it's Ramjet, I think.
I felt quite sad because I recently got a Hotshot for my birthday from my brother and I love it. And I just was like, oh man, I would have loved to have got Jolt with it. And it's kind of feels like a shame that we're getting Armada toys. That it's really nice to see them again. They're all articulated like you've always sort of wanted. And then they're just missing that touch and they keep bundling in Minicons with the recolors and stuff. And it's like, no.
Yeah, because Hotshot has got it with the Power Links version, hasn't it? So the recolor. Yeah.
So I wonder if they do a pack or something.
Yeah, they really should. This is kind of a shame, actually, this one, because I always thought with the original Tidal Wave, I'm looking at it now, absolutely love that toy. And it's such a perfect Mini-Con to go with it because it gives a sense of scale for the aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is the thing, man. It's got a... Oh, yes. As man, it's missing more now because you think that would just set it off perfectly. It needs that to really sell it as an aircraft carrier.
It really does. Yeah. And actually, this is perfect for that sense of scale against those tiny toys. You know, if you've got like a bunch of MicroMaster sized toys or Mini-Cons or whatever it is, this is the perfect thing for them. And that's, it's always worked in that regard. That's why I've got my G1 Fort Max set up with a load of MicroMasters around it. It's just that, you know, those opposite ends of the spectrum. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have that with Countdown. Just covered in MicroMasters.
Yeah. Perfect for it. So,
yeah. The other one that caught my eye though was Cybertronian Wheeljack.
Bread van. Bread van.
Bread van. Exactly.
Oh, man. Love it.
Me too. Absolutely. It was like, and he's got his little tiny propellery things. Impellers, what are they at the front?
First Transformer to ever appear in animation or in the cartoon.
Yeah.
In the cartoon. I don't know about adverts and stuff, but yeah, certainly in the cartoon. First Transformer mode, first transformation. Essential, really, isn't it?
It is essential, isn't it? That's why as soon as I saw it, I was like, well, that's a requirement. I need that, you know, and I want it.
Got to be done. Got to be done.
The head sculpt of Wheeljack is something that I've always got a soft spot for anyway.
Yeah.
And then getting in that Cybertronian mode, really nice. Yeah.
Again, though, I've seen some complaints about this, quite a few.
I've seen loads.
Yeah.
Is it that he's too chunky? There's a lot
too chunky.
Too square, too chunky.
Yeah, he's got HasLab Unicron legs all panel folded up and da-da-da-da. He's got a backpack. I don't know, man.
It's amazing what they've done because it can fit Bumblebee inside.
Yeah.
And when you look at the vehicle modes side by side, it's not actually ginormous compared to Jazz and Bumblebee.
No.
It fits in terms of how you would imagine they do. And the robot mode again doesn't dwarf the others, I don't believe.
I just think, you know, I kind of reached a point in my life, I think, where I look at this stuff and I really had this sense the other day after Tidal Wave was revealed and this, and I still saw, you know, people kind of kicking off about it and some real choice comments about some of it. And I kind of thought to myself, I don't want to be all just consume product and then move on. That's not, you know, who I am, because I spend my life talking about this stuff and critiquing it where necessary or whatever. But I do think that we're in an arena where we're literally, as we've said before, getting everything we could have ever wanted, you know?
That's it,
Be it Generation 1, Beast Wars, you know, Unicron Trilogy. It's all happening, all eras. You know, Rescue Bots in Generations, you know, for God's sake. It's like, think of it, and it's happening currently. But there also seems to be this sort of, like, hyper-critiquing going on. But I think probably I'm not into it, partly because I've sort of got to the age where I'm like, I'm just happy that some of it is happening in a funny way, you know? And I look at something like this and I'm sort of, I know enough now, I guess, about like toy budgets and what goes into designing this stuff. And that actually not everything is possible in some little, what is it? Deluxe size? Deluxe class?
It is, yes. Voyager, actually.
Voyager. Fair enough. But, you know, Voyager class thing, it's not going to be able to do absolutely everything you want it to be able to do. And yeah, if there's going to be a bit of kibble or backpack or whatever, sometimes that's just the trade-off, isn't it? That's just the way it rolls. And c'est la vie, I don't know.
Yeah, to get that version. I think for me, I remember going back to the days where there were no Transformers on the shelves until they did a reissue of Ultra Magnus. And then there was maybe a few Beast Wars that would pop up here and there, but there was just nothing. It was like the quietest time for Transformers. So the whole idea of us getting Cybertronian version of Wheeljack is like, never thought that would happen. Ever.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're talking 40th anniversary, but realistically for the 20th anniversary, you know, all right, we'll talk about MP1 and yes, there was alternators and Binal Tech as well, but really MP1 was the 20th anniversary. That was it.
Yeah.
And
that's right.
That as a masterpiece line, that was the only toy that year.
It wasn't a line. It was one toy.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
Then the next year there was a repaint of that toy. And then the year after that, there was a repaint of that toy. And that was masterpiece for ages, you know,
it's for like 10 years.
And it's like now you think of it and it's happening. And I don't know. Yeah. What can you say?
A lot of it is because that kind of collector mentality from Masterpiece has shifted to this kind of toy line now. And I think people look at it with that same critical eye of they want that toy that represents that thing off the screen, when that's not what this toy line is. And that's never what you're going to get for like a 25-30 quid figure. It's, you don't really even get that to the fullest extent with Masterpiece, do you? But I think that collector focus has shifted a lot more from Masterpiece now to this toy line, because it's feeding that crowd as well. Like, 100%. Because I buy a lot of this now, rather than, I mean, I got rid of Masterpiece ages ago. I kept a few choice bits, but it was because this was serving me way better than that. It's giving me characters like Rotorstorm and stuff Masterpiece doesn't do, and it, cheaper. And I think, I think you're getting that critical edge carryover.
Yeah.
Do you know, I'm just looking at a site here that has like the upcoming figures for 2024. And what I really love about next year is we've got such a mix from so many different lines, from Beast Wars 2 to, you know,
Second.
They put Beast Wars 2 there as well.
I think you'll find, Jason.
That's true. Second, I should know that. Exactly. And then, they've got the Armada, they've got G2 stuff coming out, they've got the retro stuff coming. You know, there's such a diverse amount of stuff coming out next year, which is really lovely.
That's amazing.
Like, yeah, amazing, actually. From like one line of toy to get all these. Oh, and animated as well. We've got coming as well.
Animated, Prime Universe stuff, Bumblebee movie stuff. You know, you name it, and it is happening.
Yeah,
currently, and I think it's pretty incredible.
Yeah, so the hope there is that there's something for everybody ultimately within the fandom that they can get passionate about. And obviously, Tasmania Kid caught my eye as a core class. You know, now that I know Beast Wars
January,
second,
I think. Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, you're old pro at it now, aren't you?
Exactly. Now that I know.
Yeah, there's a couple of bits coming up in January that I've definitely got my eye on. I really like the look of that Energon. Core class Energon Megatron as well, I think looks really fun.
Yeah, that's the one. Does look really fun. Yeah,
I'm going to get it, but I really want the purple one that I know has to be following.
Inevitably.
Just get both, surely. That's what you do.
Yeah, fair. I did that with Soundwave and Sound Blaster, so why not?
Yeah, don't we all? Exactly.
It's a real sign of what like technology can do now when you look at that toy and you see what they can do at a core class figure. And it's quite fantastic. But it's also crazy when you realize now that's like 10, 11, 12 pounds. And you're like, that was like a deluxe toy 10 years ago or something.
Yeah, it's true.
Deluxe Sideswipe in Universe. What was that? 2009-ish? That era?
Yeah, I think so.
Remember, that was £10. Remember, times have changed.
No, times have changed massively. So, yeah, 100%. So what other bits have caught your eye then that's coming up?
I would say, so I'm an absolute sucker for animated. So to see that there's going to be animated Bumblebee and animated Prime, I think, isn't there? Yeah, there isn't.
Yeah. Those two. They've already done Prowl.
They have, haven't they? Yeah. I'm really looking forward to both of those and just seeing what they do with them.
Do you like the style of them?
I do, actually. Yeah. I really like the Bumblebee. I think it's got a nice nod to the original with, like, you know, the little rockets on the side. You stick in and
little stingers in that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and he's in his robot mode. With his, they've really gone for it on his shoulder pads as well. So he just looks very funky.
Again, I've seen a little bit of, you know, divided reaction on it, just because, which I sort of actually understand with these ones a little bit, because animated was such a crown jewel for so many people. And, you know, Derek J. White was so beloved in the fandom, and animated was so sort of his baby that I sort of get that people are a little bit kind of protective over it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a load of debate just a month or two ago about would Derek J. White like the legacy animated toys and things like this. And I was reading some of it and I was kind of like, I'm not sure that's the point, though, in a way, because like the original animated line still exists as its own thing. This is not superseding that or replacing that. This is a homage to that, if anything. So these new toys can exist as separate entities to the original animated line, and you can not like them or like them, and that's absolutely fine. It doesn't replace the originals, does it?
Yeah, that's it. I think anyone that's got them, like, so I've got all the different versions of Animated Prime from the original line, and I really like what they've done with this new version.
It's adding something to the mix. I think that's an important thing that people seem to ignore about legs and stuff. It's all become, why does it look exactly like this? And people think it has to. And you're like, it doesn't. It's supposed to add something new. And, and this will be my first controversial opinion of 2024.
Oh, here we go.
This is my favorite design of Animated Optimus Prime. I like this more than the tradition, than the classic version. I like that too. It's great, but it's never been a favorite of mine. Whereas I look at this and I feel just like the subtle changes to the shapes, to something about it, and the black on the shoulders. And someone's going to tell me that was there on the original, I'm sure. But there's stuff about the colors. It's a little bit darker, I think, than the original. And there's just something about it that just feels really nice. And I'm tempted to buy it more than I ever was the original. I just hope they do a version with the wing pack and all that.
Oh, yeah, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
That would be cool. Mm.
But, you know, because they've got a bit of transparent axe action going on. But you're right, Liam. The blue and the red in the image that I'm looking at here is tonally different. The red looks darker, but kind of richer. And the blue's not the kind of prime dark blue that was on the original as well. I really like it. I think it looks a lot of fun. It'll sit nicely in the set that I've already got, I think, as well.
It's a slightly differently stylized take on what was already a very stylized design. It's not, in a way, I think it's good that they've not gone slavish, as we were saying earlier about G1 and Armada, but it's good that they've kind of not gone slavish trying to bring that original animated design back in new toy form, because it would have looked weird, I think.
That's it. The original toy was so spot on to the cartoon, wasn't it?
Yeah,
animation model.
It was. Yeah.
They were so thingy. Yeah. Whereas this doesn't look like the cartoon, the animation model.
No, it doesn't.
No, it's not.
It kind of, it has that almost slightly more realistic, but not, if you know what I mean, just kind of,
yeah,
a little bit more of an edge to it.
It looks like a generation's toy of an animated design, which is what it is, ultimately. Yeah. So it looks like what it is. But it kind of needs to be that, because if you were to, I'm just looking at animated toys now, but if you were to take any of those toys and recreate them almost one-to-one in terms of style, and then just whack them out in Legacy alongside any of the other stuff that we're looking at, it would look bizarre, if anything. Yeah. Like the animated works because it exists with the toys exist within the context of that toy line, and because they all fit that one style, they work. Whereas something like Animated Prowl just existing as a one-off thing alongside the rest of Legacy, I don't know if that would fly.
It's a great example of a toy line that each toy complements another.
Exactly.
They fit with each other, but when you put them against other toys, they don't fit as a group. I mean, they still look great, but it is that thematic way they're put together, isn't it? They have that cartoon look. They look
100%
like they've stepped out of the show. And you couldn't do them now because they've got so much plastic and so many gimmicks, and it's like it wouldn't do it justice in the way those toys are perfect already, the original animated. So
the only
way to bring them back is to do something new and different with it.
I 100% agree. There's no point recreating Transformers Animated, the toys as they were, because the toys are already too good. It's like they did it so well the first time round that, like, why bother really? But this, the new Optimus, does something a bit different. I think that's good.
What about for you two, anything else caught your eyes? There's an obvious one we're not talking about, let's be honest.
Is it
boulder tits?
Well, that's not where I was going. That's not where I was going.
The Bumpboard Mobile guy.
I was going dinosaur to Duncan, but we can talk
dinosaur
about
to Duncan.
Yeah, we boulder can talk about tits. Boulder tits if you want. That's great. Yeah,
boulder tits looks all right. He looks quite fun.
Yeah, you into your rocks? Rock collecting.
I bet Jason is. He's got that kind of
really,
geocaching vibe over there.
You do have a bit of a geologist vibe about it. Yeah.
I wish. I go up hills and Munros and then wish I knew about rocks and don't. Yeah, this is a big thing for next year, though, isn't it? That the rock lords are ultimately making a comeback, you know, in different versions.
It's gonna be rocking.
Yeah.
This is again funny, because talking about the slavish thing, I think we're onto a theme here, but I've seen a few people be like, but are they rock lords or are they not rock lords?
Yeah.
And I'm like,
doesn't matter.
It doesn't f-ing matter. Do you know what I mean? Like, it really does not matter. Like, they are sort of a loose homage to rock lords without being completely slavish to that, you know? And like, they also have car mode. So does it really, who cares? You know?
They do this a lot now, though, don't they? That's what this scale, they did the skeleton dinosaurs, whose names?
Yes. Like,
the fossilizers.
Fossilizers.
We had those, and then when they were chucking in like battle masters and all that stuff, which were
Junkions and
a lot of this stuff. They keep adding in these new elements, and it's great because it gives us something new as well as something old.
Yeah,
but the rest of that. But the whole thing is, this is about like additional parts for other figures as well, yeah, isn't it? Because these guys are going to break apart and then they become weapons,
yeah,
and different accessories, which again, amazing play value for something. Which I would pick up some of these actually just because of my love of Rock Lords, but I really like that as well. The fact that they're just like they did that back with Generations previously, where you could just get all the other parts, break it apart, add it to an existing figure. It was always a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Really, really nice.
I saw a few people be like, oh, it's a shame that they can't turn into actual rocks as well. And I kind of get that, but I don't know. Again,
but let's be honest, Rock Lords, we were always a bit like, eh, you know? And it's like, they were just different and I had loads of them and they were cool for their, like, how crazy they were. But you never really left them in rock mode, did you? You know,
not majorly. Yeah. It was the novelty of like it becomes a rock, and then yeah, I'm going to put it back to a robot now.
Yeah, exactly.
They were cool. I liked it. I only had one or two. I think I had Slimestone, the kind of chromed one.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
God, I've forgotten their names now.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I don't have them anymore. Regret.
No.
But
no. No. Yeah. One for another time. So
it's kind of a lot of fun, isn't it? You know, again, something that we didn't expect to see.
I think, as Liam said, it's something new being added in to an arena which is already crowded with, you know, homaging a 40-year spanning toy line. It's quite incredible that they feel that they're able to also add in this new element as well. I think that's really good.
Yeah. What are you thinking, Sixo, about the? Because there's a lot of Beast Wars that we're getting next year. So
I'm into it.
Yeah. Have you got any kind of faves that you're seeing?
As I say, let's talk about Dino Tadukan briefly, because Magmatron to me is the pièce de résistance. Let me tell you that. I think he looks absolutely sublime. We saw this thing up close and personal at...
It looks amazing.
Yeah, at MCM, London Comic Con. And I was not prepared for how amazing I think it looks up close. It's huge, really, really big. I mean, it's not, you know, I'm sure not compared to old Tidal Wave, but it's a
Commander
big old hunk of toy.
It does look amazing in that toy mode, and I'm jumping between the picture of it as a toy mode and then the artwork, you know, the original artwork, and it is just so mad.
I'm guessing, Jason, that you've never seen or experienced the original Magmatron.
No, I've not. No, right. I've only heard what you've... But, you know, when I'm seeing... Is that a pterosaur on his back? I'm missing pterosaur. Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, there's Nessie. I know that guy.
Pterosaur.
Yeah. How is Nessie? Is
he's
he
doing
right?
Well. He's all right.
It's a she, actually, isn't it?
That's a good point. Nessie's a she.
Is that who we pick up on your recording, on your track, going past your...
Every once in a while. Just like,
hi, Jason.
Yeah, exactly.
Hello there.
Do you live next door to the family Ness, Jason?
I love that show. That was great.
Good God. So, no, well into Magmatron. I just think it looks terrific. I know I said this on a previous... previous recording, whenever it was. I said it at some point, I know I did, but I actually think that this looks like it could easily rival the original toy, and that's not something I say very lightly, but
nice.
I really like the original toy, but this looks the business, so I can't wait to get my hands on it, quite frankly. And the other one for me actually is Tigerhawk. It's definitely one that I want to get.
So
he looks magnificent.
I'll be honest,
really good.
Yeah, it really... So I did a double take when I saw Tigerhawk, because it was just a small thumbnail that I was looking at, and I was like, is that Grimlock? And I was like, no, that's Tigerhawk. But
he is a friend though, Jason.
He's a friend. I do know that much. But yeah, it looks lovely. Really nice. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm well into it. So, and you know, it's funny because again, I've seen people being like, oh, it'll look better when it's a Razorclaw repaint, because there's a black repaint for this traditionally in universe and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, you know, that will look great. But it's also kind of nice because the original Tigerhawk toy was you know, quite cartoon accurate, but it had different colors. It was kind of blue instead of purple, and it didn't have so much of the kind of goldy kind of color to it and things. So I like that what they've done with this. I think it looks really good.
In the robot mode with the it's a cat bird combo that we've got going on here, but
cat
the
bird.
Catbird. And then the bird claws going over the shoulders. Yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all kicking off, isn't it? It's mad. Absolutely. It's Beast Wars. It's utterly bizarre.
A lot of fun.
It's several animals smushed together. All kinds of craziness. Love it. And this is like real last days of Beast Wars, this thing as well. So
is it a surprise to see that? Is that kind of like seeing in the same vein as seeing Cybertronian Wheeljack?
Yeah, I was surprised to see this of all the characters of Beast Wars that they could have done. I mean, I got to be honest, I don't really pay huge attention to the leaked listings and stuff. I'm not like hanging my every, you know, hat on like, oh, there's going to be a Studio Series Optimus Prime. Oh my God. You know, some of the big ones like that I hear about, but I don't go looking for it or anything. So yeah. I wasn't really, you know, when this was dropped officially, I was like, oh, cool. Do you know what I mean? This is great. But yeah, to me, it was a surprise. To kind of see them do this, because it's not the most obvious character, but I think it looks really decent. The one comment I would make is that it's so funny that they've given us this and Nemesis within the space of, you know, a relatively short span of time, because you know, Liam, I'm sure you remember maybe from the old Beast cartoon, but it's actually the Nemesis that destroys Tigerhawk in the cartoon. You know, and of course it's the classic G1 Nemesis brought back in Beast Wars, so, and it's quite a memorable character death, so this is you can recreate that now.
That lovely moment.
So
I suppose this could technically be, I suppose the Nemesis in the arc could technically be Beast Wars Titans as well.
That's true. It's very true. I did think that actually in a way. Yeah, I guess the arc as well, but especially the Nemesis, because it's actually sort of operational in the cartoon. It sort of does feel like a sort of weird Beast Wars toy also.
Yeah. Liam, what about you? What you got your eye on?
I don't know. There's something about Magmatron is pulling me in. I know you referred to him as the Dino to Duckin, but it is the Dino to F***ing to me, I think.
Wow.
I think that's more what that is.
What about some of the Studio Series stuff?
So the Studio Series stuff is interesting, though. Because you did just mention leaks, rumors, and stuff. And if there's going to be a Prime, which for 40th anniversary, personally, I would be surprised if there's not.
It makes sense, doesn't it? I know some people were really anti the idea. This was another one. I'm getting on my soapbox tonight now about this, but this was the other one because I saw tons of people going, "Why do they have to do Optimus Prime again? You know, it sucks because it's taking a character spot away from someone else. You know, they should be doing this person or this person." Who is it? Someone was saying that they should be doing some obscure Bayformers character, like Jolt or somewhat. I can't remember. It was like some pick, like a no name.
It comes
background.
Up every time.
Yeah, exactly.
No matter who they reveal, it's always like, "Where's Jolt?"
Yeah, some absolute
nobody.
Dude
with a freaking lightning whip. He has one scene.
Yeah, let him go. He's like barely in it, you know. And I mean, look, that's not me dissing. I get that the people want that toy, and for their sake, I would like to see it happen. But it's no surprise to me whatsoever that in the 40th year of the franchise, the anniversary, that Hasbro would see fit to create another version of the flagship character that is quite literally the face of the franchise. You know, it's a no-brainer. Of course they're going to do that.
So I'll throw in a complete speculation. To get that, do we then get Megatron as well? Because that's the thing. Well, so do we get one like middle of the year, one the year after?
You'll never get a gun mode out of it. That's the thing.
No, I don't think we will we? So they'll
go just get tanks more and more refined
G2.
To look like his robot mode. Yeah. That can turn into a tank or something. But the one I'm actually looking forward to is a Megatron, and it's that concept studio series one from the Bumblebee film that we saw revealed at MCM for the first time when we were sat there in the crowd, which was good fun. But I think that looks amazing. And, you know, I mean, I have a real soft spot for the Neo-looking G1 stuff, anything that looks like that. Like, I recently got the Reactivate Optimus Soundwave, and they are fantastic. That Optimus is just brilliant. And I think this is the same sort of thing where it's got that G1 look, but it's different again. And it's got, I quite like its crazy modes because I think the jet mode looks like a sort of laser beak style thing. It's kind of just kind of crazy Megatron Cybertronian bat jet. It just looks kind of crazy. I'm into it. Yeah. I'm so glad they've made it and they're doing stuff like concept art toys. It's great.
Yeah, concept art toys.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah,
it's really cool, isn't it? So, and that Megatron design, as soon as it dropped and people saw it, it was one that it was like, oh, yeah, you would want to see something done of that, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's one of those things where you saw it and you went, and it's exactly that reaction. Like, oh, I wish we could get that. I wish we'd have got that in the film. But now you get to have it in plastic, which is actually amazing.
Even better. And yeah.
Kind of crazy. And again, opens a door to a lot of other stuff that we've never seen, you know, where we have seen concept art of designs in different eras and toys that never came to fruition, you know, like, well, it's kind of a very slight creaking of the door with a toy like this.
That's a really good point, actually, because there is tons of unused concept artwork from the films, but more besides, where it's like, even old toy designs and things, where it's animated. Like, actually, well, yeah.
Legacy Now is a perfect place to give you the animated Cosmos, or all the Warpath, the Power Glide, all those things you saw in the background, or characters that popped up on screen for a minute, but never got a toy for whatever reason, a lot of stuff like that. This is the place.
Yeah, 100%. I've already seen a lot of people talking about the fact that they would like a sort of more cartoon accurate animated Wasp, you know, because the original one didn't have the head or whatever, did it? So, you know, stuff like that can be done now, possibly. And I think you're right. This is like a little nudge in that direction in a weird way.
Animated Springer. Give me Animated Springer.
Yeah, that would be something.
That would be lovely, yeah.
That would be something. I'm kind of with you on the modes to an extent. I must admit, I have looked at the modes and thought, eh. But at the same time, they are properly Cybertronian, aren't they? And I kind of dig that.
They're no better or worse than a million others, are they? I've seen people complaining about that, like you said, and it is just like, I've seen worse, I've seen better. It's just what Cybertronian modes are at this point. They're a fudge. But then you get one that looks exactly like the cartoon in the Wheeljack, and people complain about that. So.
Yeah, it can't win.
Yeah.
In a way, it makes more sense as a Cybertronian mode than Wheeljack does, in a funny way.
Yeah, that's because we've become so used to Cybertronian modes being just nonsense. It's just like...
yeah.
Cybertronian mode is, we've got a robot mode, we can't figure out how to do it or anything, let's just fold it up and call that Cybertronian. We're used to that now, that's what it is.
Yeah.
I remember Soundwave took that to the nth degree
in that mode.
Oh, the Bumblebee one.
Yeah.
He just lays down and he's a dead crab. Basically, it
really does. He looked like a video game console or something.
He does, he looks like a controller or a landmine.
Yeah.
So random.
Did you see an alien video game reference?
Oh, look at that. You didn't even call it a computer game.
No,
I'm growing on this podcast.
I'm learning.
You're evolving, aren't you?
I did a lot of practicing in the mirror tonight before I came on. Let me tell you. Video game.
I'm getting weird today. You've got Patreon.
Looking at the man in the mirror, were you?
Yeah.
Liam got the whole URL done in one go.
I know.
Is like, this is 2024 triple takeover.
This is professional podcasting. That's what this is.
Gosh. Who knew all we needed to do was get rid of Maz?
Shuffle him out the door. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's why we had to sack him. Anything else in Studio
Keeping
Series?
Keeping him down.
All of that. No, exactly. Anything else in
Love
Studio
you,
Series or Generations? Any of that malarkey? Are you excited about a Prime, Liam?
Oh, what? The potential for the G1 style one?
Yeah.
Yeah. If it's real, I would love to see it because we haven't actually seen a G1 Prime in Legacy of Generations for a little while now, have we? Since Earthrise was the last
Earthrise.
One.
Earthrise.
Yeah, that's right.
We had the G2 Laser Prime 1,500 times. But we, since then, I mean, somebody did correct me on this and went, look, and they showed me a Bumblebee Optimus Prime, which is not the G1 Optimus Prime. It's not that cartoony style one, is it? So I think it'd be fun to see that, just to see, because they seem to be edging closer and closer. And Earthrise is great, but you feel like, again, another refinement, like, how close could they get? And it's the marquee character from the toy line.
Yeah.
It's the icon that transcends the toy line. Everybody knows who Optimus Prime is.
Yeah.
If they don't know much about Transformers, they recognize Optimus. And it's like, just get him in there because it will sell. It will give them money for other toys. It will keep it going.
I'm so glad you said that because that is always my attitude with this stuff. Because whenever that, and that's what I was going to say earlier about the wasted slot thing where people are like, I want Jolt. I don't want Optimus Prime. It's like, if they make an Optimus Prime and it sells through the roof, which it will, then that funds all the weird characters. That's how it works. You know,
exactly.
Ultimately, you've got to have these marquee characters. You've got to have the popular stuff that will shift units beyond just, you know, the one diehard fan that loves that random background character from, you know, whichever film it is. You've got to have kids buying this stuff, and you've got to have kind of the more broader audience beyond just diehard fans wanting these toys as well. And Optimus Prime will do that, and it will fund many other characters. And we aren't doing badly for niche stuff either. So
it's actually, when I think about it as well, when you go back to like Masterpiece, when Hasbro did the versions of like We got a Thundercracker, no, Skywarp, mm-hmm. sorry. And did we get Thundercracker in the Western release? Hasbro, we did, didn't we? And then, but the Optimus Prime releases Masterpiece, and the amount of those that I saw appear in friends' kids' toy boxes. You know, they're getting Masterpiece scale ones. And it was that thing that, a Studio Series Optimus Prime will sell not just to us lot as collectors and fans, but it'll sell to everybody that has experienced Transformers, gone to see the movies. It's just a crowd pleaser, ultimately. So it goes across so many different demographics. And I think that's...
It's special.
It is special.
It's a special character. Yeah. Like, I'm one of those people, I've owned hundreds of Optimus Primes over the years, but every time a new one comes out, I still get sucked in, like, ooh, how's this one going to be different? Because it is that signature character. And there's something special, like I was saying about the Reactivate toy. I was like, wow, it's so nice to see a slightly different twist on it as well, which is great. But then sometimes you want to go back to the original, because it's like, I've got MP10 still, who's great, and Earthrise Optimus Prime and all these others, but it would be nice to get that. And then we've got Missing Link Optimus coming, so that would be a great counterpoint, I think, to have like a vintage style and a modern
I agree.
Imagine that's a two-pack.
Well, that's the thing, and where does it lead? I'm sure there'll be more Optimus Primes besides this as well, of course. That's the thing, you know, we're not in 2024 yet, although when you're listening to this, it's 2024. I know, it's time warp. But the thing is that we're only at the start of the year. We don't know what's happening through the whole of the 12 months yet for the 40th anniversary. There will be more Optimus Primes. Absolutely no doubt. Of course there will.
It's going to be everywhere.
Yeah, it is. Well, look at, you know, so you mentioned Missing Link, and we do need to talk about Missing Link, because I, for one, very excited. But how many different versions of Missing Link are coming out as well?
Well, you know. Yeah, this is the thing. Well, the thing I would say, before we get to Missing Link, there's one more question I have for you on Generations and what have you. And then we'll wrap that bit up. But are there any toys that haven't been revealed, characters, I suppose, that haven't been revealed, that you would like to see in either Generations, you know, Legacy or Studio Series, whatever?
Great question. Mine would be Skyquake, but in the G1 colours.
The gold and the green.
Yeah, because we've had the Prime one, and it's that same mold. That's the weird thing about it, is it's there for Skyquake.
Yeah.
And that's what I want. We've had, obviously, the Prime Colors version, but the mold is like a mix of it and the G1 toy.
Yeah.
So I want to see that Neon. That other Machine Wars G2 Starscream.
That would be cool as well.
Was Machine Wars Starscream?
It's the same mold. It's funny, you know, about with these kind of repaints, because... Like when we were chatting with BMAC, and just name dropping there, but when we were chatting with BMAC,
good lad, like him,
yeah. When we were out on the town for noodles and sake with BMAC, he was saying about, because we talked, didn't we, about that laser Optimus mold, and he was saying, I don't really think that we can release it again. You know, like we're probably step off that one for a little bit now, and kind of give a bit of a break on that one, because we've done it so many times. And it's funny, because I still see people going, where's Laser Magnus? You know, we need a Laser Magnus repaint out of this. Well, yeah, because it's a great repaint. And I think we are in the world now where actually people are kind of happy, or certainly a lot of people are, not everyone, but a lot of people are kind of happy to see these toys repainted over and over, because they want these different color schemes. They want, you know, in the case of this Dreadwing, you know, they want to see Skyquake, they want to see King Atlas, they want to see Machine Wars Starscream, you know? And why not?
Oh, there we go. I'll change it. I want the Universe King Atlas. But everybody wants their favorites. That's what collecting always boils down to, isn't it? Everybody wants their favorite toy. And that's what a lot of the people critiquing things, I think, sometimes don't realize that's what they actually want, when they're like, oh, it's not like this. And it's like, you want your favorite. It's not that it's bad.
You can't quantify
that disappointment to yourself, I think.
Yeah. And I think there's also a sense of, like, you don't want them to move on from a mold. I know they can always come back. Of course they can. But you don't want them to kind of move on and forget the one color scheme that you really want of it, do you? Like, with that Skyquake mold, you know, if they do stop making them, or Laser Magnus, like if they just never do the Laser Magnus, but they do every other color, you know, there are going to be people that are like, oh, that's the one that I really wanted. You know, that's the one I was waiting for. So,
yeah, absolutely. And just before we move on, there is one glaring omission from Studio Series we are still waiting for that has to be this year, which is Swoop.
Yeah.
Yes. That's the one, Dinobot. Good point.
Good, yeah. Good shout.
That would be the one I would love to see the most.
Cause I'm sure that'll happen.
It has to be happening because we've got the others.
Yeah.
Makes no sense to not do.
I just quickly would say I'd like to see some Voyager pretenders. And I mean, like, going back so that we get that kind
proper
of...
shells.
Shells.
He's going pie in the sky here, isn't he?
Yeah, he
is, I'm just sending it out there to Hasbro to go and have a think. That's what we need.
I think they have thought about it quite a lot. I think they've thought about it, definitely. Again, that was another sort of thing that came up in conversation with old BMAC. But I think they have thought about it, but doesn't sound like it's on the agenda, apparently.
Oh, no. Gutted. Yeah. I love the little ones, the tiny, tiny, tiny ones they did. But, you know, get some Voyager ones, be well nice.
Yeah. Who knows further down the line. So I think my thing would be, not a specific figure, but I'm just going to throw this out there. Some Beast Machines, I think, would be kind of fun to see because it's like the one notable. Yeah, it's just the one notable.
Always has
area.
To go too far, doesn't he? Take it.
Yeah, no need.
You just want a V4 Supreme Cheetah.
Supreme Cheetah, exactly. Yeah, that's it. But even bigger.
Do another
Titan
one.
Scale.
I want a second one. Yeah, go bigger. More. Yeah.
More light.
Yeah. You love it so much now. You want as many versions as possible. Bring it back.
Yeah. But just bring back the original mold. It was so good. Just bring it back.
RoboSen Supreme Cheetah.
Oh, man. Kit it out, imagine. But no,
kit
I do think... Kit it out, there you go.
Yeah,
hey.
Yeah, boom.
Oh, dear. Perfect.
Cat it out.
But I do think that some Beast Machines updates would be fun. I know people hate Beast Machines, and I know people think it sucks. Whatever, I don't care.
But, I'm just kidding. I like the show. The show was fantastic.
Yeah,
was excellent. TV
you're that
show.
Person now asking for that niche figure, aren't you?
Well, hear me out. Who wouldn't want to see like a new update to something like Beast Machines Thrust? You know, the cool motorcycle drone toy, like but done as like a proper, you know, deluxe or whatever it was. You know, that
love a Jetstorm.
Cool. Yeah, Jetstorm, exactly.
Yeah,
something
Jetstorm
that was properly cartoon kind of looking and whatever, or a decent sized Tankor, because the only the only Tankor that was really cartoon accurate was the really tiny one back in the day. So stuff like this, or do the original toys again? Or...
There was a Tankor a few years ago.
Ah, that's true. Actually, yeah, I take it back. But still, throwing Tankor
another
out
one.
Another one. Why not? Or just some of the Maximals. I think there was a leaked listing nod. I think there was some suggestion that there might be. I think it was a core class thing. Cheetor, Beast Machines Cheetor, but core class. And I think it would be a bit of a shame if that was, you know, if that was the only nod that Beast Machines got. The obvious one is, this is out there, would be Botanica, because she never got a toy back in the day.
I was thinking of her, yeah.
Yeah. Plant to plant kind of thing. Yeah. Don't know. That would be a divisive one, I'm sure, but I don't know.
Do you mean pot plant? Is that what you said?
She turns into a plant. Yeah, she turns into a
plant. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, Lego have done well with all their different plants and flowers and stuff.
Right.
So there you go.
There you go.
That's it. Thanks.
Yeah.
People like poison ivy, so, you know.
Yeah, true.
Exactly.
Yeah, there we go. Good company.
I mean, look, she's not my favorite design, but part of me is just curious just because there never has been a toy of that character. So it would be kind of funny to see it finally happen after, you know, 20-odd years.
Do you think they could do a Night Scream? Do you think they could do his quiff justice?
Right, maybe. Blah. Maybe. But you know, particularly again, because the original toy was massive, whereas actually just a little core class Night Scream would be really good fun to see, I think.
Maybe we'll get like a repaint of Prowl and Soundwave as Beast Machines Universe. Dead Prowl and Sandy.
Exactly. Yeah. They're just like one of the random background.
They were so
dead
background.
Bodies on the floor.
Yeah, dead bodies.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Hanging them upside down from your ceiling. Yeah.
Why not? Okay, well, we'll move on from Generations, Studio Series, all of that kind of stuff, and move on to some other areas that are likely to be, I'm sure, very exciting for 2024. But there are a couple of bits still that, you know, probably we can talk about in minisodes and things like that as well. It's fair to say, isn't it?
Yes, there's so much stuff coming out next year, but there's also a video game, like Reactivate, and I got the toys of that recently, and they're both fantastic.
Oh, what?
But it's quite... The toys.
It was the video game that caught him out.
It's like they move, Sixo, you know, but without you having to use your hands. Wait, no. Anyway, we'll explain it later.
Right.
In our mini-sode.
Is it moving pictures?
Moving pictures.
Like this old make your own battle scene with stickers, but digitally.
Yes, sounds fancy.
But yeah, so there's been a lot of talk about that lately. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but there's been a lot of discussion about whether that game's going to happen. And I feel like we could talk about this in a mini-sode. I think that would probably be better suited there because it's quite interesting because Jason has a background in video games. I've worked in video games. So I think it'd be quite interesting to talk about that. Sixo obviously loves computer games.
I used to work in video games.
Oh, gosh.
Was it in game?
I'm waiting for the punch.
I've heard of the shop.
Was it carrying the Wii through the door?
Right, exactly, yes. Yeah.
No, I'd be up for that.
You recently got into a Wii Mario Kart, didn't you?
Not recently.
Early 2000s release.
Yeah. I felt a bit bad the other week, a couple of weeks back, whenever, because we were playing Mario Kart Wii with my little boy, and he loves it. And he was like, oh, what's this function? This is the one that connects to the internet or whatever. And we went on there and I was like, oh, this is, you know, where you play other people over the internet or whatever. And he was dead excited to give it a go. And we went on, no other bugger was on there. And because it's, you know, however old the game is, you know, 20 years or whatever it is, I don't know. And I had to say to him, I don't think anybody else is playing this game right now. He was like, why not? I was like, to kind of explain, well, it's quite an old game, mate. Yeah.
But everyone's moved on.
Yeah,
what was it? Was that on Switch? Was that Mario Kart?
No, it's on the Wii.
On the Wii. All right, I've still got a Wii. I'll dig it out, and we can organize that. So
that'd be brilliant.
I don't think the servers exist anymore, do they?
No, that's the problem, isn't it?
Yeah. Who knows, mate? Who knows?
Turning them off. Yeah. But yeah, reactivate game. That would be good to chat about. I'd be up for that as well.
We'll see about that soon.
Yeah. Well, we also then obviously, Jason, you've already alluded to it, but we do want to talk about Missing Link and retro reissues as well, I think needs a bit of time in the old spotlight, because both of these lines, there's a bit of overlap there for me, because they're both kind of, although they do different things, you know, they're ultimately both looking back to G1 toys, aren't they, and kind of bringing them back in some way or another. And it's fair to say we don't really know what's happening with either of these beyond, hopefully there will be more. You know, Missing Link, we know that there's the two primes on the way, two versions of the one prime, I should say, the two releases. And that looks, we've talked about it, that looks amazing, doesn't it? So that's, I assume we're all getting that.
Yeah, although there is, because there's like, there's the missing, like, is there a difference between the USA edition, toy edition, and the Japanese toy edition? And then there's the O2 version, anime edition. As well.
Oh, right, I see what you're saying. No, well, there's two versions at the moment. There's the cartoon version, the anime version, which is the one with like the blue windows and stuff and no trailer. And then there's the toy version, which is just the Japanese toy version, essentially with the Japanese box art and everything.
Yeah.
And that is, well, a new version of the Japanese box art, but done by the person that did the original box art.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, same artist, which is cool. So it's just the two versions at the moment. But I have no doubt there's going to be more of these.
Yeah, and I would say so.
Yeah, 100% would be not surprised.
They're going to fly off the shelves, aren't they? So I've got the toy edition pre-ordered from the USA version.
Why not both .gif?
Yeah, it'll happen. It will happen.
Is the USA version not just the Japanese version just being released on Hasbro Pulse?
Yeah, pretty sure it is, yeah.
I think it's just the same toy, just imported, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe it comes in a sleeve or something. I don't know, like one of those cardboard sleeves.
Come carrying giant American flags and a hot dog.
An eagle delivers it to your door. That's the thing. So
yeah, you have to be at a baseball game to purchase it.
Exactly. And someone throws it to you, like they do. You know, supposedly they throw hot dogs, don't they? But I didn't actually do that. I don't know. I have been to baseball
on a Harley.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly how it's delivered.
This is a Freedom Prime.
Brilliant. I'm well excited for this line. I think they'll do more. I would put odds on it being like a Soundwave or something like that. Maybe a Starscream.
Yeah, we can recreate the first issue of the UK Transformers comic.
Yeah.
You know, just because they'll have proper bendy arms.
The cover. Yeah, that would be cool. I kind of feel like a Seeker would be a shoo-in as well. Although we talked a lot about this in the Missing Link episode that we did, you know, and so all the kind of challenges and stuff of that are in there. But I kind of thinking about it now, I feel like the Seekers is probably a shoo-in, although it's a not so obvious one in terms of the articulation, but it's obvious in the sense that they can get like a gajillion repaints out of it, can't they?
So, yeah, that's yeah. it. Yeah. But then you go further because it's like if we get Soundwave and then, because we've had so many different versions of Ravage, some more successful than others, and yeah. how they'd kind of keep that to the original, but give it more articulation. And then the other one I thought about was Bumblebee, you know, because Bumblebee's kind of charm for me was just how simple the transformation is. You know, it's just, and if you kind of start adding more of the Missing Link kind of style to it, does it change? We don't know yet, though, do we?
No,
he needs transform
knee joints, doesn't he? Some hips.
He does, that's true.
But he's so small, this is the thing. It's
yeah, tiny.
Missing Link, it's on the one hand, it's like an unknown frontier. On the other, it's kind of backed into a corner by your own sort of mental inhibitions of what they can physically do to those toys. Because like we spoke about in the minisode, it's where does it move from being the vintage toy of articulation to something new? That's what the Seekers, isn't it? It's like, how do they still keep that look
100%
but fit in all the joints it would need? It would it'd be so different. I'm hoping we get something totally out there that's really unexpected, because we've seen so many characters over and over again for reissues, and Missing Link just feels like the perfect opportunity to do new molds for old characters like Grimlock, stuff that you'll never get reissues in vintage
Grimlock
form.
Would be perfect.
Just feels like Grimlock
the perfect way of getting the funding for those kind of molds and getting those out there to reissue, you know, perpetuity along with the regular old guys.
100% agree. I actually think in a way that the next, I guess it's the third release, but the next Missing Link mold that they unveil is as important as the Prime, because for several reasons. Number one, it's going to
set the tone.
Well, it's going to set the tone for where the line goes and how it moves forward from Prime, because Prime is kind of, although it was, I mean, it's bloody exciting. It's the most exciting toy in years, in my opinion. But it sort of is also an obvious one. In terms of the character choice, but also the articulation and things like that. You could have imagined how it might look, and lo and behold, it looks like that. Whereas there are lots of toys now that it's hard to imagine. Seekers is an obvious one.
Yeah.
How they would do it. So the kind of style of it and everything really sets the tone, as you said, Liam. It's a perfect way to describe it, of like what comes next. The other one is the character choice is going to be crucial as well, because that is also going to dictate it, because we're all assuming it is G1, but it could just be that they go through and do leaders, for example, like it would Mr. Karatomi. It would not surprise me at all if they just did the big hitters. You know, they did like maybe Rodimus Prime, but then they do like Star Saber, or, you know, but maybe they skip to other generations as well, you know, and they move to other eras, Beast Wars or whatever it is. I don't know.
They all have articulation. They all
probably have that.
But with this, with Missing Link, Prime was the perfect proof of concept, because he's an icon. You wouldn't know he'd be coming in a toy line like this.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said about the articulation, it's one everybody instantly gets, because you're like, oh yeah, I could see exactly where that toy works with new hips and arms and that. It makes sense, you'd imagine it. But like where they go next, it's like you say, it's so important, because if they just go to like say Soundwave again,
exactly,
it's almost like you go, it instantly sets the tone of, oh, it's Soundwave again, rather than this is new. Like I say, it's like a new frontier at the minute. There's this feeling that you don't know where it can go. Prime is the obvious one you kind of have to get over, then everything from here is new and interesting.
Yes, and very much so.
To maintain that, I think it has to be a new character. And I think that's why I personally think it would be Grimlock, because I feel like he's such a main character, and it's so glaring by not having a vintage version of him.
Just
and
had again, a Robison like, release as well, so it's kind of hot ticket at the moment. Yeah.
And yeah.
Just true. Like Optimus is the one you can see exactly where they could put the articulation, because he's got most of it. It's just really, what do you need? Some shoulders and
elbows.
Yeah, really, yeah, isn't it?
But then also, I know this is it's not an outlier, but Shockwave with that treatment, I'd like to see that, because the G1 Shockwave is very straight up and down. But I did wonder as well, imagine if they just went the complete opposite and just released the 84 line as all missing Link. And they just followed exactly the same that we got back well, in the day. And yeah, they were just like, that brave.
That's the thing.
We're going to do everything again.
I think that's it. I mean, they may well just do that. That's the thing. It may just be Autobot cars. And it may be kind of what we imagined we were going to get from Masterpiece back around the sort of MP10 era, you know, when it was like, oh, they're going to do the whole of the art crew. And that might be what they're kind of doing here. I don't know. But Liam's right. I think whatever happens next sort of sets that precedent for what it's going to be. It'll either be something sort of completely obvious, like a Soundwave or a Carbot or Bumblebee or whatever it'll be, or it'll be something a little bit left field but kind of cool because it's a mold that's been lost to time, like Grimlock, or it'll be something totally, totally random, like, I don't know, a G1 First Aid or something like that. Do you know what I mean? What?
You
know,
please,
exactly.
Please, Takara gods, nose give cone. Us the Technobots with,
exactly. Just a duocon.
Yeah. Wide load.
I do think that the Datsuns, there you go. I think they feel like a fairly obvious place it could go.
Sure.
But again, it's just getting away from the molds we've seen reissued over and again, like Blaster, Soundwave.
You
know. Well, they're coming out in the main retro line, aren't they?
Yeah, in the retro line, yeah.
Which actually just...
Soundwave.
Yeah, Soundwave and Blaster. Yeah. They're coming out in their cartoon colours, aren't they? In those kind of original boxes.
That's what I mean. It would feel weird if you went to a Soundwave or those kind of characters whilst there's already one on the shelf.
Very true.
Exactly.
Very true.
Yeah. I'm finding that a bit odd as well with the retro, because we've obviously had the really nice retro stuff this year with the comic book artwork on the front of the boxes. And then for next year, they're keeping that theme going of the toy colouring on the G1 toys. But yeah, they're going back to the old packaging and stuff like that.
It's just a 40th anniversary thing,
You know, it's nice. I like that packaging. Have we seen the back of the box? And if that back of the box artwork is back?
I can't remember, to be honest, but I think it was a very definite move from Hasbro to be like, we want the most recognisable packaging on the 40th anniversary. You know, we want to celebrate that as much as possible. So I don't think it was anything other than that's, you know, they want that iconic packaging.
It does create a potential problem for some people, though, doesn't it?
It does.
Called Bombshell.
Yep.
Because we still haven't had 86 movie Bombshell. Yeah. Is it one of the instances we haven't had? And it's like, if they're doing this now, potentially he would come out in this new packaging, which would be great.
Exactly. And are we going to get Starscream again?
Bots, you know, packaging collectors, a bit mystified. Okay.
Collectors love inconsistency. They're well into that as a thing. It's like, they absolutely adore that.
Literally looking at the boxes going, oh no, if that Starscream,
yeah,
and then I've got to get that Starscream, you know? So.
Well, there was an interesting precedent that was laid with Legacy, wasn't it? Where Breakdown came out really late, and I think he came out in Legacy Evolution, but his packaging was still left as just regular Legacy.
Yeah.
But his was to match the other Stunticons who all came out in the regular Legacy. So I think it was to pacify or satisfy a certain element. I suppose people who collect in the box would have just suddenly had this one breakdown in Legacy Evolution otherwise. So, that was a really nice touch. But it's also really interesting to see that, they are quite willing to do this. So I wonder if they'll see something similar with Bombshell where they go, we've given it a rest. It's only fair to do it in the 86 movie.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah.
Maybe.
I hope so, because I need it.
I think the only thing I'd say, just coming back to kind of the two lines concurrently again, of course, is that the retro is very much a Hasbro prospect, isn't it? Whereas Missing Link is Takara Tomy led. So I think it is possible that you may end up with a Soundwave in both, bizarrely.
I'd buy it.
God, we are really going back to the 80s now.
It's not impossible.
There's also a thing you have to consider with Missing Link is that if they follow the same pattern as what they've done with Optimus, where they do a toy and toon version of it, they're just going to select characters that have to be kind of appropriate that way.
Yeah. I wonder if they'd do that for all of them. I don't know, maybe.
Because they're all fairly different, aren't they? Anyway, in the cartoon to the toys. But I wonder if they then start selecting characters that look very different between the two of them. Although Optimus doesn't, does he really?
No, he doesn't.
It's one of the easiest, Like when you get to like Reflector and things like that, it's going to be interesting.
Oh, Missing Link.
And Interceptor as well.
Imagine.
Yeah. I mean, the more you talk about it, the more you can just dish out names where you're like, oh, just imagine. Mm. But you are right, Liam. It's the molds that we're never going to get in retro that would be the most appeal to me. I'd love to see them do some of the you know, stuff like Blur and things like that, and Hot Rod. I mean, Hot Rod would just be incredible.
Big fan.
I would be surprised if they don't do movie, because we've got the new animated movie out next year. It's out next year, isn't it? And
Transformers 1.
Yeah, Transformers 1.
That's true.
So, you know, what's going to come out of that as well?
Well, we've rarely seen anything from that yet. Just some. There was the guy, didn't he? He did some drawings. He did an interpretation
of something he saw.
Yeah. He saw. Well, no, he saw a trailer or something.
Else saw, wasn't it? Was it like that?
Yeah, I think he saw some test footage or something, and then he drew a sort of artist impression of what it looked like, and people immediately all over the internet were like, "This is bullshit! Like, just looks." So funny, honestly.
That's amazing.
It was just watching people kick off about it, like, that's not even the designs, folks. Yeah. Just take a beat.
Yeah. I'm excited for that to come out purely because there are going to be a million people searching for Transformers 1, and all they're going to come across is Maz.
Yes, it's true, actually. It's
Maz's website, really famous. And he's just going to be so grumpy about it. Like, oh,
let's
God.
Get back on and interview him when it comes out. Yeah,
I've just saw this great movie. It's all action-packed. I'll just Google it, and it's like, what is this Diaclone? What?
Yeah, people are asking his opinion on the film, and he'd just be like, ooh,
yeah.
Sod off.
Oh, brilliant.
Awesome. I do think there could be some fun stuff out of that as well. And it'll be interesting to see. We don't really know much about that yet, do we? So it's kind of a little way off yet, but that'll change things as well, in the way that the 2007 film changed things, and you know, it'll change kind of the focus a little bit as well. Although I don't know, saying that, there still seems like some of this retro vintage stuff is fairly well cemented by this point, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it stays there throughout, doesn't it? But I just love the fact that we're getting an animated movie for next year, for the 40th, which is you know, and it's got a proper good cast behind it, and yeah, it's that's an exciting one for me.
It makes you wonder about the future of Earthspot, though. I wonder, like,
I was gonna
is that
going to
be continuing for multiple more seasons, because it's really good, but I don't know, it kind of almost feels like it's fallen into the background behind everything else. But I suppose that's because we're older and we follow other collectory focused stuff.
Yeah.
It's maybe less in the foreground for us, because I really love it, but I don't know. It doesn't feel like one of those toy lines that's massive and you feel like, oh, this will go for a few years. But maybe it will. I hope it does.
I think it's definitely got its fans out there, and stuff like Nightshade and things like that has caused a lot of excitement recently. And I think some of the, you know, the Takara releases on the horizon as well. But I do know what you mean. It's not as prominent. It's not like the main line, is it? It's not like, because we're used to the cartoon, if you like, of Transformers, the current cartoon, also being the main line of toys.
Yeah.
And it's not currently, because the main line is Legacy. So it's
blurred. It's very blurred now, isn't it? Like you're saying, like in the old days, you would go into a toy aisle and it would be all, say, Transformers Armada. Everything on the shelf was branded with
100%.
That. Yep. Maybe a tiny amount of other bits and bobs, but it would be old toys that were still around for some reason. But now you go into a toy shop and you look at that shelf and you'll see Earthspark is like a small contingent in a sea of studio series generations and
reissues
legacy and reissues and Rise of the Beast and everything like that. It's
Beast
very
Wars,
confusing.
Everything.
Confusing. It's great for us, for people who are into this stuff, but I mean, it must be quite confusing for people coming in. But I just don't think you get that same impact where there's one all consuming piece of like key media anymore.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I had that actually in person when I was in the entertainer the other day, and I met this wee granny who was looking, she's like, "Do you know about Transformers?" And,
did she think you worked there?
A little bit.
Did you tell her, "Well, I've got a podcast"?
No,
certainly.
I think I would do.
Is she a patron?
Listen to this.
Yeah. Do you want to sign up? Just sign up. Goldbox Classic. But she was getting one for her grandson. But she actually turned to me and just went, "Have you got grandkids?" And I have never been more offended. I have never been more offended. That's just absolutely gutted. I was like, "No, I have a son who's only 10.
Oh my God! But,
then I helped her choose a transformer, and she got Bumblebee.
She didn't invite you out for a cup of tea by the sea. You know, you can talk about your ailments and
yeah, it was very sweet.
What transformer did you advise that she get?
So it was the Bumblebee from the new cartoon. So it
That was right.
Yeah, for
good
Spock,
choice.
Yeah.
Good choice.
And it was. And do you know why? It's because I was like, how old is he? And he was, I was about 11, so a wee bit older than, well, pretty much the same age as my son. And that's got like 11 stages of transformation. The other one she was looking at was the Optimus Prime. We just slam it onto the table and it auto-transforms.
Yeah.
And I was like, nah, he won't. He'll get bored of that in seconds. So yeah. And that's a nice figure. So it was the first time I'd properly looked at one of those figures for Earthspark. And
yeah, nice. Some good stuff in that line. Yeah, honestly, it's a good toy line. I think there's definitely some good stuff. And you know, there'll be doubtless be a second season of that cartoon, so that'll have new toys and stuff as well, I guess, in 24. So that'll be interesting to see. It's all happening, isn't it? I mean, there's Skybound still going off as well. We're pretty well served in terms of media and things like that. So there's a I kind of like that, though. I know we talked a bit about that last time and sort of said that, for me, not so much for kids, and I think you're right, going into the toy store, it's a bit like, whoa, this is a lot of stuff. But from a collector's perspective, it's pretty amazing right now, isn't it? There's all these different things happening.
So do you think there's any chance of oversaturation occurring here? Like, just from the other side of the fence here? Because there is so much stuff coming. There's the film, there's cartoons, comics, and there's a video game, and it all seems fairly standard, but there's so much. And we're seeing at the minute, like in the cinema, you're seeing a lot of movies not doing great, you know, things like Flash, Marvel. The Marvel's films.
Yeah.
There's quite a few films are really spluttering along and not doing anywhere near it. So I'm just wondering if maybe Transformers next year maybe gets caught up in this kind of, not backlash, but just kind of general apathy from the wider crowd.
That's a really interesting question. I don't think so. I think there's enough goodwill for it currently. And because it's across different media, you know, you're talking cartoons, films, toys, video games, shower curtains, you know, all of these different things.
Rebel.com/people.
Yeah, exactly. I think it can sustain itself in that regard, you know, and I think the fact that they have kind of worked it, so a lot of it is collector focused, a lot of it is kid focused.
Yeah.
You know, various things. Earthspark is so different to what's going on over here. You know, it's all things to every person in a way, more than it ever has been, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's just given more choice, ultimately.
Yeah, exactly.
Across the media. And I think within cinema in general, there's been, you know, whenever I'm talking to friends, family, across the board, just a bit, it's becoming a lot more expensive and it's getting really eaten up by your streaming and other stuff and podcasts and people just spending their time elsewhere, you know?
Patreon.com/
Yeah, exactly.
But like Rise of the Beasts did all right, didn't it? It did all right.
It did okay.
I think it did better than Bumblebee, but Bumblebee didn't do great itself. But
it was lower grossing than Bumblebee. Unbelievably,
was it?
Yeah, it's the lowest grossing thing. All right, in saying that, it's the lowest grossing Transformers film.
But there we go. So maybe there is this creeping in because it seems to be a very much a general thing at the minute. Because Disney are pulling back like on Star Wars and Marvel across the board, aren't they? Like Star Wars, they're cutting back on the films, I think, and TV and the amount of stuff they pump out. Because I think they're starting to realise there's so much of it now. There's no reason to go to the cinema. But there's also just people, it's not so much bored. There's, I think, the general vibe of seeing it. Even I get it like that with stuff like Marvel.
Yeah.
You know me, I've collected comics forever. So even I'm a bit like, I don't have to watch it at the minute. But I'll watch it in the future.
I haven't been to see the Marvels at the cinema. That's rare for me to say that of an MCU film. But I just haven't found the time. You know, it's not for not wanting to see it. I do think it looks
pretty
good. It does look really good. And I would like to see it. I just literally have not found the time. But I think that cinema is in a weird place at the moment as well. Post-pandemic, all of this kind of stuff. And I think even though a lot of people seem to have forgotten about the pandemic by now, you know, and it's not such a consideration in people's minds. I do think the attitude towards cinema, I don't think it's quite recovered in the way that people would have wanted it to.
Yeah, the only one that bucked that trend was when I went to see Barbie and the cinema was absolutely packed. It was so full and it was lovely and it was really great atmosphere. And I saw that movie twice.
Nice.
And I think
great film.
That's... reason being is it was something different. That's what it was there as well. And I think that's the thing, you know, MCU. And what you were saying, Liam, as well, that then there is a risk for Transformers if they kept producing the same kind of thing. So if we kept going over the same story of Optimus Prime fighting Megatron and, you know, Civil War continuation, stuff like that. But the great thing about Transformers is it reinvents itself
exactly
across all these different bits of media, which it's always done. And
it's about change.
It mixes it up. Yeah, you know?
Make it's that like, change.
It's like they're meant to change, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Be the change. Imagine. Be the change or be the change.
Be the change in yourself.
That's what you always wanted to be.
But I think, you know, Transformers 1 will reinvent it again in a different way. And I think what is notable about Transformers is that every time that happens, it takes a little bit of that reinvention with it and kind of sews it into the kind of larger patchwork of DNA of the franchise. So no doubt there'll be some kind of lingering element that you see from Transformers 1 that kind of pops up elsewhere and kind of influences other areas. I think, if anything, what will be really fascinating, and we've talked about this before, but it'll be what happens after Legacy and after this current era of looking to the past. Because at some point we've got to go back to the future. It can't just stay in the past the whole time. You're going to run out of material, you know? So at some point it has to go forward again and kind of do another Unicron trilogy type thing of like, okay, here's similar archetypes maybe as some of the characters, but new characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is a similar tragedy that's befallen like Master of the Universe. It's so entrenched in the past. It's found it really hard to make that jump forward, which is one thing that Transformers always did, which is what made it stick around for longer, beyond nostalgia, and it moved to new groups and stuff like that. Whereas now, there's such a collection of it. There is so much, and that's fantastic, because it caters for everyone. It's just, I just do wonder about the movie, though. I just wonder if the reception to Rise of the Beast and the budget made them rethink, because they had a grand strategy, didn't they? But they were going to flash it off into a big G.I. Joe universe. But G.I. Joe films always seem to do terrible. So I wonder if they're starting to look at that and go,
I'm not sure there was much of a plan even then, other than showing that business card and just saying, here's an idea. You know, I don't think they had a plan necessarily, but I don't know.
Paramount are at this stage cutting a lot of stuff that is complete, and then they're like, nah, we're not doing the marketing budget for that, because they know the marketing budget's going to be the same as they've spent on the film ultimately.
It's not Warner Brothers, that's Warner Brothers, isn't it, as well?
Yeah, they're doing that as well. Yeah.
I swear to God, if they Batgirl me again.
Well, exactly.
I know.
This is the thing. I just had a quick look.
Rob me of Keaton Batman. I will never forget.
Oh, that's right. Oh, no. Yeah. I did have a quick check there, though. The budget for Rise of the Beast was $200 million. And it gross worldwide was $438 million, just shy million in the end. So
marketing budget would have been,
I was going to say, that's marketing, though.
Yeah. What did it actually do?
I did hear some talk about, did it break even? Just, I think, was the conclusion, was that it made its money back. But, and a lot of it will have been toy sales and things as well, of course, and that's ultimately what those sorts of films are about, isn't it?
It'll have a good tail, though, won't it? Because that was its budget at the box office. I imagine once it gets, now it's on DVD, Blu-ray, all of these things, that will stack up, streaming over the years, totally. All those sort of things, they'll make money.
I bought it
rentals.
Full price on Blu-ray.
Licensing it out to TV channels for films. I think it'll do quite well.
I think so. A lot of Transformers films media hang around, don't they? They don't just disappear because the franchise carries on. So
Revenge of the Fallen's on Channel 4 or Film 4 every bloody week.
Yeah, exactly.
Constant enemy scrotums.
Well, it's the worst one. The reason that we had the comics and the cartoons originally was to sell toys, and that's ultimately the aim that they do, which is why
that's the aim of the media. That's what it's there for. It's the vehicle to sell these products.
Very much so. So another area of collecting that we kind of should talk about briefly is Masterpiece, because although it's not the forefront of anybody's mind necessarily these days, everyone seems to be collecting Generations and that, there are actually some really exciting things coming out in Masterpiece next year. So there is a MP58 Hoist is coming up in January. I'm very much looking forward to that one. Have you seen this
one? I do have that on pre-order.
That's pretty good.
I'd forgotten that was the beginning of the year. Yes.
Yeah,
nice.
That's coming up thick and fast. There's another Optimus Prime.
The 44S,
toy styled Optimus Prime. There's Rigorous, which is the yellow trailbreaker.
What a name.
Yeah, I know. Rigorous. And there's my personal pick of the year so far, which I am dead excited about, and it's Rhinox.
Ah, nice.
Beast Wars Rhinox. About that.
Very
yeah.
nice.
Have you not seen it?
No, I've not.
Have you not seen the picture of his behind?
Oh,
I'm Googling it right now.
Oh, dude. Yeah, but I wouldn't Google Rhinox's behind.
Just hold my phone away from myself.
Oh, man. Oh. It's like some vagina dentata type stuff, honestly. It's... Okay, I've got it. I've got the picture.
Oh,
oh man. I'm going to send this to you, Jason.
Okay, I'm bracing myself. Here we go.
You should be bracing yourself, honestly. Check that out.
Oh, no. You should see where my pointer is literally right on the hole. Oh, ugh. That's the worst. I'm moving the hands.
It's nightmare fuel, isn't it? You see it and you're like, oh, no.
Oh, my goodness.
How's that for some weapon storage?
Jeez.
I can't wait for this third-party add-on to cover that up.
Yeah, knowing kind of Beast Wars, there's going to be a missile that goes in there, isn't there?
Yeah, probably. I think it's the
third-party
fact that...
toilet roll accessories.
Oh, God. It's the fact that Takara Tomy took that picture and decided, yeah, this is marketing.
Works.
This is
let's marketing. Put that
out there. Why? What are you doing?
That's very impressive, actually, Rhino, isn't it? That's really...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, does look amazing, I think. Amazing.
Yeah. I don't think Attenborough would approve of that anatomy there.
There's also the there's a last train bot I just remembered as well.
Well, that's yes, coming out. Absolutely. So. I was going to say that was the next thing, which is also very exciting. So yeah, that'll be that whole set done. Number six.
I'm looking forward to that.
Make a big train man.
Which one is it? Which one's left?
It's Cayenne.
Yeah. Ah, right. Oh, cool. Mm. I'm interested to see the photos of that because it's another one that feels like a. After the initial excitement of the first one or two, it's kind of drifted under the radar a bit. And I've only mostly seen it from your photos more than anything, which has been cool to see.
And, yeah, I don't know how much people have picked them up.
Talking about it with you and Maz, but actually seeing the full thing combined. I saw some photos from the, is it Cybertron Fest at the weekend or the show?
There was a few there, wasn't there?
There was a photo of it in the cabinet and it looked amazing.
Is that in the combined form, you mean, Liam?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've been avoiding seeing it in combined form so that I can do it myself. When I
oh, spoilers, okay. Looks really good.
Yeah, tricky.
I was going to say, Kayan is the funny one because he's the chunky lad. Yeah. You know, here's a pic of him in case he's
he's hilarious.
He's the most interesting one of the set as well.
Yeah. He's the most interesting. Boy. It's such a great train mode.
That's a proper diesel local.
Yeah, I was going to say,
nice.
I remember really when I first saw the vintage toys. Like early 2000s, late 90s, whichever, for the first time. It was this one that drew my eye because there's always just something about the colours and it's got a very almost Constructicon vibe to his face and just the whole general look and the style. There's something about just his style. But as always, train mode is so different to the others, which are all like little passenger-y looking things, aren't they? Well, most of them. And this feels like a proper working engine sort of thing.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Very different.
Solid boy. Chunky boy. Nice.
The long haul of the
super excited for this. Honestly, finished this set. It's been great so far. So can't wait.
Then I'm going to have to hunt out the originals, though. That's the problem. So I can do them side by side, and that's going to be spenny. So.
You truly are, man. Everyone needs a G1 Raiden in their collection.
It's true.
Everyone needs a lottery win to afford one.
Well, yeah, that's true. Exactly.
It's a fair assessment.
Can we just do a triple takeover trip to Japan, please? That's what we need to do.
Yeah. Go and raid some toy stores. Yeah.
Yeah.
We should. So.
That would be amazing.
Anything else you'd like to see in Masterpiece next year that hasn't been announced?
Yeah, I'd really like to see them move into the later era G1. That sort of like your slug slingers and stuff, the colourful stuff that's not real world vehicles. Because I think we've had this from Masterpiece now, and I think there's, from my perspective, is almost like an apathy toward it for me, because I look at it and go, it's great, it's really interesting, but it's just losing that wow factor, because I think we've seen so much of it and we're seeing so much of it redone at a smaller scale. It's like when you're seeing the same things over and over again, you're like, oh, I really need them to do something new. Like the trains, them doing that is a breath of fresh air. I'm not a train guy, but even as I'm like, oh, that's, do something different like that. Like, and I'd love to see them tackle something more colorful and again show why Masterpiece can be so inventive and new and different, rather than being just, here's a cartoon guy, here's another cartoony guy of horse.
Because we've never had Insecticons from a Masterpiece line.
No, that would be fun. But I mean, even then, but that's what I mean. I think this is also a part of the problem with Masterpieces. We've seen so many of them in third-party form. I think for me, it spoiled it a little bit. And I like third party stuff, so it's not a, not throwing shade, but it's like I feel like I've seen masterpiece versions of every character to some extent.
Yeah.
Do you want something new?
Yeah. Give me something weird. Move to a different generation again. Do something crazy.
I do know what you mean. I must admit, when Masterpiece Trailbreaker came out, that was kind of like, it's good. It's a nice toy. Don't get me wrong, but it's a character that I feel like I've seen done quite a few times over.
And yeah.
Pretty good in some cases, you know? So it was kind of a, it did lose a little bit of that sheen. But yeah, I'm with you, Liam. I would love to see them do some different stuff and kind of move into other areas. I think it's about time. You know, maybe they'll do more combiners as well. You know, maybe they'll do. To see them do like a Defensor or a Superion or something like that.
Could do a Road Teaser. Do something that's like that feels special. That feels like Takara, because that's what Masterpiece used to feel like. It was like giving you something that only Takara could give you. Whereas now, between them and Hasbro, they're already serving us so much other stuff that fits this kind of, you know, that satisfies you in this kind of sense. So it's like do just something where you go, that is Japanese it's Transformers, it's fine. It's something, like that's Masterpiece. That's what that is. Name. It's supposed to be something you can't do anywhere else. And I think it does, like the third party thing, I think it suffers now because every time, like you say, with Trailbreaker comes out, you're like, I've seen it. So you automatically you compare it rather than look at it and be like, whoa, I haven't seen that like this before.
That's
so
really fair assessment.
Yeah.
Do something crazy, later eras, maybe RID or something, you know.
Well, just... I think that's why I've been enjoying the Beast Wars stuff so much. You know, I know that this Kingdom Beast Wars and Legacy Beast Wars and whatever, I know that that exists, but the Masterpiece Beast Wars stuff is so cartoon accurate in a way that really works, though. It's like good cartoon accurate, and it really gives that mainframe animation vibe. So, I mean, I really hope that they do more. You know, I was shocked to obviously see that Rhinox is the first Masterpiece Beast Wars toy in like 3 or 4 years, you know, since Tigertron.
A long time, isn't it?
Yeah,
I'm nice to see them come back.
The last one was.
Yeah. It's been a good couple of years. Yeah.
Wow.
So long may that continue, and you know, hopefully they do like a Tarantulas and stuff like this as well. Waspinator, maybe Rat Trap. You know, there's tons there that they could do as well. So.
So that's Masterpiece then. One thing I wanted to talk about was Robison as well, because they have obviously released the Grimlock this year, which out of all of them is the one that really caught my eye, both just the scale of it was more than anything else. But this is a bit of a random one, but the stand that they're releasing next year.
Oh, yeah. The AI stand. Like,
yeah, the AI stand, which is such a cool bit of tech. And I'm a bit of a geek about it. But, you know, it's got Alexa controls going on. It's got AI built in. The actual base of it has additional functionality that's going to do stuff to Prime. And it's got a flight stand ultimately with there as well. It just looked like a lot of fun out of a stand. How random is that? You know,
supposedly it's going to have some, it's going to allow for new functionality for some of the existing bots, isn't it? I think
that's a very good move by Robison, I think, as well, to get people to get by that. And you can slot your figure onto it and it can give you that kind of extra moves.
It's nice. For sure. Yeah, that'll be interesting to see. And obviously they teased a couple of things at TF Nation of what they've got coming up and that as well, but I think there's lots that people would like to see from them. I think it's I don't know what the next figure is going to be, but I think the follow-up from Grimlock is going to be quite exciting, whatever it is.
Yeah, could be. It's going to be, it'll be interesting to see what they do as well, but I don't know. I'll see how 2024 has started for me and whether or not I can go for a Grimlock, because that's a very nice figure. Yeah.
Do a drone Starscream. That's what I hope they do.
Yeah, with a cloak.
That'd be something.
You know, that would be something, wouldn't it? That would be amazing. Yeah. Wow.
If it can't crumble into a pile of ash, I'm not interested.
And then rebuild itself. Exactly.
Yeah.
And fly into the room, land, and then transform. Oh, that's it.
And then turn into a ghost.
A ghost.
Go through walls. Ghost. That's what I demand.
Well, it would just turn into AI, wouldn't it? So it just control all over your devices. You get a RoboSan Octane and it could be taken over by Starscream's AI ghost.
There you go. AI ghost. Yeah, I think that'll be exciting to see.
It'd be the true ghost in the machine.
Very good.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Very good. Like it.
Yeah. But even part, you know, when you think about Robison, though, and what we were talking earlier about all the different parts of the Transformers brand at the moment. And when did Robison start? It feels like a couple of years they've been around now.
Not long. I mean, they've only been They've only been in the UK 1 year, if you can believe that.
And they've had a real impact, you know, in what they're doing as well. And it is a whole other part to the brand, which...
Well, I think that's it. Yeah.
Which is nice.
And it pushes it into... This is what we said when we talked in our RoboSen episode, is that it pushes it into a whole different territory of... Not collector, actually, but of... periphery of Transformers fan, in a way. You know, people that wouldn't have been fans of this necessarily before, but they're going to go in on a RoboSen Optimus Prime or Grimlock or whatever. So it just, you know, a bit like Skybound does as well, all of these things push the boundaries that bit, don't they, and kind of get someone that is kind of on their slightly outer limits of Transformer fandom, it brings them in a little bit.
Yeah, I would say so.
And well, the only other one for me was 3-0, and just literally whatever they might come up with. And yeah, it's a topic for another time, ultimately, but there's some amazing stuff coming from them. I mean, they've got some more Rise of the Beast stuff on the way. That Mirage just looks perfection.
Yeah, stunning. Yeah, really nice. Yeah.
So really nice. Good.
I'm torn on that one because I like the yellow park kits as well.
Right. I think
they're doing one as well, and that looked really nice. And then I saw the 3-0 one. I was like, oh, that also looks great. But they've got that Sideswipe that you know I love. That's,
oh, wow. Yeah.
That's coming.
Yeah. The LX one. Yeah.
I should have just ordered the Rodimus as well recently. So hopefully. Nice.
The thing I would say about the 3-0 stuff is that as a photographer, it's the most fun stuff to take pictures of.
Honestly,
it's so hyper detailed, particularly the larger stuff, I would say. I do like the MDLX stuff as well a lot, but the larger stuff is just the finish and everything is so spectacular that it's impossible not to have fun taking pictures of it. Honestly, it's just so nice. So, I mean, literally anything they've got coming, Optimus Primal, Mirage, RCs should be on the way soon. You know, all of this stuff, sign me up for it. Incredible.
Are they doing Optimus Primal?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
I missed the RC as well.
Yeah, RC's out, I think. Like, a lot of people have it already.
Is
so
it, Bumblebee is it Rise
movie.
Of the Beast one?
Oh, yeah, sorry. No, Bumblebee movie RC.
Oh, it's the Bumblebee. Yeah, because John, our friend, Boastful Manfish.
Yeah, Napalm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Boastful Manfish. Yeah. Boastful
Manfish. I don't know what we call him on social media. Older,
yeah, he's got many names. Yeah. It's a manfish of many faces.
He's a legend anyway, but he's got that. And he also had another one of them. And I was like, oh, really want the comic book Megatron.
I would
really like to.
Yeah, that's nice.
Has he got that already?
Yeah.
Get. Take it all back.
I know.
Right, well, I think that's going to about do it for our 2024 discussion. I'm sure we could keep going all the live long day because ultimately we love toys and there's a lot of new toys coming, so that's great. But it promises to be a very exciting year, I think it's fair to say. 40th anniversary, as we said, and lots happening, so I just can't wait. And again, it is kind of weird to think that of all the stuff we've sort of name-checked tonight and said, there's this and this and this, it's all happening within the first month or two of the year, really, isn't it? We don't know anything from beyond that.
Well, this is what makes it so exciting, is like we say, we've talked about all of this stuff, but it's just a fraction of what's probably ahead because we have no idea. And that's the most exciting part, is that we don't know what's coming.
The unknown.
Because I think we do fall into a trap sometimes where you want to know everything. So you listen to leaks, you look at spoilers, and you're constantly looking at pictures of, you know, toys that aren't, that haven't been officially revealed, and you're trying to make the leaps where it is, and that's part of the fun. But then you kind of spoil it for yourself because you get to the end of the year and you knew everything that was coming out, and it's rare that something genuinely hits you out of nowhere.
Yeah,
so it's nice to have that.
And I think from now until this episode comes out, a lot can happen in that time. So we could be looking mightily stupid when we've not mentioned something that is like hits us as soon as we go into 2024.
Yeah, we'll have to see. That's what happens, you see, when you record in the past and come to you in the future. The myriad of time.
So after recording this, literally just before Christmas, and we're doing it from the past, does that make us the ghosts of Christmas past?
Starscream's ghosts of Christmas past.
Yeah.
That's what we are.
I'm shattered.
Yeah, fantastic. Well... If you want to hear more of this, though, and why would you not at the end of the day, there is going to be a lot more in 2024. Going to be a big year for Triple Takeover, but you can get more right now because you can get on our Patreon. And I said that correctly. And there are, as I said, five glorious tiers. You've got, you know, Man in Pig, where you can get early access to episodes like this, or Apologetic Ramp, where you can just support us. You've got Inner Beast, get on our Discord right now. You've got Sixos Butlers, where you can commission minisodes and listen to lots of minisodes. We've got 61, 62, 63 minisodes. I forget exactly the exact number that's on there right now, but it's a lot of extra content that's on there. And you've got Goldbots Classics, where you can get your mini series as well, so you get weekly exclusive content and a free gift, dare I say. So that's always exciting. And another perk of the Patreon, of being a patron on Patreon, is that you can ask a question as well. And we have such a question now from one of our patrons. See, I'm just not doing it for fun.
Smashing right. It is amazing.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just I'm into like it now. I feel like I've really hit a stride. I'm just it's like that bit where you're sawing wood, and you're just into the middle bit, and it feels good.
It's easy bit.
It's like
how often have you done that?
Loads, man. I'm well into my DIY.
I saw wood all the time, don't you know?
I did saw some wood about 3 or 4 weeks ago when I was putting some shelves up. So there you go.
That's suspicious that you can date it though, isn't it?
No, it was vaguely.
Oh yes,
then.
I just recall I was casually putting up some shelves. Me and Kat Rion, we happened to be
looking at the shelves. That was the
right
thing.
Now.
So,
yeah.
So that's what prompted my memory. Anyway, moving on from this is not what the question is about. The question is from
6 minutes last cut wood.
Exactly. About my wood cutting technique. It's legendary, I'll have you know. When you get into that middle bit, you know what I'm talking about, Jason, don't you?
Yeah,
that really satisfying middle bit
to,
of the
I had to cut a lot of wood when I lived on the farm. Yeah.
It was, there you go.
Yeah. Oh god.
So
you'll be starting a bushcraft channel next.
that's a cut a lot of firewood.
Yeah. I'm sure that's true.
What's the question?
Right, the question is from Z Nerdy Vampire.
Oh, cool.
Yes. Hey, Z Nerdy Vampire.
Yeah, it's about combiner displays. And very simply, it says, are there any combiners you sometimes think of displaying not in combined mode because you love the look of each individual character? And I thought of this because of the MPG train bots, to be honest. That was what made me think of this question. Because I probably will display those individually.
Stunticons would be mine because I'm an absolute sucker for the alt modes.
Oh, so yeah.
I would love to have the Stunticons in alt mode and then in another set in combined mode for the G1, if I could.
Don't get many cars in Transformers, do you?
So you don't know. That's true.
Kind of novelty. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Fun.
That'd be my choice, though. Everything else is... there is that thing, though, in my collection, though, that they more often than not get combined because it takes up less space.
Same.
The C-cons, I quite like having as individuals because they're so colourful and bright. They look fantastic as individuals.
Do you mean the C-icons?
God, what?
it came up on Discord.
So I've been calling them C-icons. Forever, and it's C-cons, like the baddies are called Decepticons.
I don't.
Yeah. C-cons.
It's another Jason thing.
It's a learning.
Am I having a stroke? Is that what's happening? What's happening?
I don't even want to know if he realizes that they're Decepticons or not. This is the
thing. I got that bit because it's got cons in it.
We've got that down now. Okay, good.
Jason, good. I don't want to alarm you, but you've hit the bottom when 6-0 here is looking down on the pronunciation of words.
It's true.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not wrong. It's not wrong.
Siacons.
Siacons.
Siacons. I can't remember even how it came up about this revelation about Siacons.
Was it? Yeah, we need to go back and check the thread, find it. But it's very
what?
Funny. There was me. I think there was me and someone else going, yeah, and everyone else was like, what?
There was like two of you that were like having a genuine debate about it. Like, could it actually be Siacons? And everyone else was like, no.
So you're pronouncing the A in
but then it would be Siacons.
The letter A, yeah. Sorry.
Wow. I mean, to be fair, at least they're pronouncing an A that is there as opposed to an O that is definitely not in MP1, right?
Oh, you have to bring that back all day.
Yeah.
Look, that's,
I do have
everybody
to.
Agrees it is MP01.
They do not.
We've seen it on official Hasbro packaging.
The Hasbro, yes. You nearly had me there. The Hasbro line, there
is. Yeah, there is.
The Hasbro line.
So you got that little bit of confusion in your face.
That technicality, that the incredulousness for a second there.
Just the facts, man. Just spitting the facts.
Sure. Just popping off, aren't you? The facts. Popping, whatever it is. Yes.
Popping. Exactly. Yeah, is that what we said?
Popping again. I don't know what it was. My answer, actually, just going back a notch to the question at hand. I'm sure Z Nerdy Vampire is really enjoying this answer. Is I was going to say Predacons, actually. I thought a really nice G1 Predacons, which Liam has just acquired a set of.
I haven't need to take them out of the box. I haven't had a chance to actually take them out of the box yet.
Dude. So. You need to take time, enjoy it.
Yeah. Do a mini-sode on them when you're done, because such amazing toys. But those toys, for me, I never have had them displayed individually, but I always like the idea of it, just because they're so meaty as individuals. So I think that would definitely be a thing that I would do. But again, like you, Jason, space is...
I'm kind of scared at the amount of space they're going to take up in any of their modes.
Yeah.
That's why I'm selling everything on eBay at the minute.
It's worth it, though. It's a lovely set.
Yeah, for sure. So that's the question. So thank you very much for that, Z Nerdy Vampire. And another perk of the patron, of course, is that we typically do a big shout out. And I've got to tell you, folks, I'm going to level with you here. We don't know how we're going to top the last one that we did, because we had Mr. Gary Chalk on, obviously, last time. Where'd you go from there? Yeah. Right?
We literally peaked with Gary doing that, I think.
This is it. It just feels like you could get me or Liam or Jason doing it, and it's like going to be a bit of a come down, let's be honest, from there. Yeah. It's going to fall a bit flat. So listen, what we're going to do, we are going to rethink the shout out a little bit, and we're going to have a chat with some of our wonderful patrons about the best way to move forward on that. And we're going to come back with a renewed plan, renewed energy on the whole thing in 2024. So that's what you can expect from us. But that is currently another perk of our patron and what have you, amongst many perks that we offer on our wonderful patron.
Yeah, and there are so many lovely, lovely patrons. And I got a lovely message from somebody who wasn't a patron through our Instagram there. So it was just a really nice message about Christmas and stuff. Penny from Penzance, you know, lovely in the south of Cornwall there. Oh, that's where the pirates are from there, I believe. But she just wanted to say Happy Christmas and Happy New Year, guys. Loved the show. And she's been on buying a bunch of presents for her friends and family from our Rebel store, which you can find at rebel.com/people/triple-dick-over/explore. And those mugs, she said, bought a load of mugs for a bunch of mugs. And I think she's going to buy those too.
You ever been to Penzance?
I have, when I was a child.
Yeah.
Didn't see any pirates.
No, I didn't. I remember distinctly going on an A-level art trip there when I was about 16. To St. Ives, actually, but we stayed in Penzance, I think.
Yeah.
And
that's where our trip was to, was St. Ives.
Yeah. And I remember 16 going to an off license with a mate of mine and buying booze and then sitting in our hotel room and consuming it.
Did ask you Friday and you said, it's all right, I cut wood, mate. Right,
exactly. Wood. I just showed him my wood cutting technique right there and there.
He must be a man if he can do that.
That was it.
That's it, done. Just carry your saw everywhere.
Yeah, but we bought a bottle of Archers. Of all the things to buy, we sat and drank neat Archers.
Oh my goodness.
I remember it quite distinctly. Pims. Yeah, I know, exactly. Neat Archers we sat and drank. Yeah. And I remember the hotel window. The two windows, the one wouldn't close properly, and it was like opposite the we were quite high up, but it was like opposite the back courtyard where all the extractor fans were and everything, and there was like pigeons sitting on the window ledge and all the feathers were flying in through the window. It was so random, the whole thing. This is really ingrained in my memory as like 16 years old.
I remember going, I went in the summer of 1996, and I remember because it was just after Euro 96, and I was wearing this bright yellow and green England goalkeeper top everywhere. So I must have just been walking around looking like a puddle of sick, because it's that kind of horrible bright colour. And nice. I bought a very nice cheese onion pasty from there. It was nice.
Oh, nice.
On our way to St. Ives. Didn't meet a man with seven wives, though.
I was going to ask. I was going to ask if you both did. Yeah,
I didn't either. No,
I need to go there. That's my that's my 2024 plan. I'll ride my motorbike down there.
Lovely place. Yeah.
I went last year or the year before again to St. Ives. It was so busy. It was just nice. For a nice place though.
If you do go, Jason, have a pasty and a sip of Neat Arches in Arches.
I will, in memory.
Oh,
memory.
You can recreate.
Yeah, I will.
You can recreate the experience.
And I'll throw some pigeon feathers at myself.
Exactly. The authentic experience. So, anyway, I should also mention that we've got a sponsor for the evening. They might be wondering what they're sponsoring at this point. I don't know. But it is tfsource.com. So do check them out for your Transformers and third-party needs.
And if you want to contact us and let us know what you're excited about in 2024, you can head over to our social media feeds. Anyway, there's Triple Takeover, which is Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and Blue Sky.
Yeah, we are on the old Blue Sky.
Perfect.
Yeah. 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 Where can they find you? Not Mastodon.
Oh no, Mastodon.
Not Mastodon.
I'm on Mastodon. Mastodon. And yeah, I'm anywhere that there's an at. 6OTF. Anywhere there's an at.
Hey, you're stealing my lines again.
Yeah, I'm doing it again.
This is identity theft, isn't it? This is what that feels like.
You can't get all the best lines every episode.
You're going to get a text in a minute going.
My bank's going to be calling me.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, there's nothing in there, mate.
The talented Mr. Soapbox, yeah.
That sounds like a TV show. That's a new Netflix. The Talented Mr. Soapbox. Liam, where are you?
I'm at Toybox Soapbox. Anywhere there's an at, apparently.
Oh, Liam, yeah. I just said that.
I plagiarized you there.
I'm jswags.com because I'm old school.
You are jswags.com.
A website.
I hope you do go around saying that, going, I'm jswags.com,
jswags.com.
Jswags.
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 Oh, brilliant.
Oh, how do you sign off from that then? Well, look, I hope you've enjoyed the episode. It's ended up a bit random, but there's going to be plenty more of this in 2024, so I hope you'll stick it out with us then. We'd love to have you along for the journey. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, all.
Or as they say in Italy, ciao, buon anno.
Hello there. You should see where my pointer is literally right on the hole. Oh.